Hey guys, welcome back to the No Rules Podcast. I'm your host, Bailey.
T-Ray Scott is in the house.
We got, Tyler, and then we got my dad.
Hello.
We could call you Ray or JD or something like that.
What's up, JD?
JD will work.
JD?
Yeah.
Okay. You like the setup? You like
it? This is nice.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, some cords have shorts in them and shit, though. I don't like that.
Nah, it's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, well. Yeah, so we're going to go through your life.
Yeah.
And then wrap it up with some ideology that you think that you agree with. Go ahead. Where'd you grow up?
Work County.
Big county?
Yeah, I was born. We lived in Ritchie County, then we moved to Freeport.
Yeah.
Lived there probably till I was 8, and then we moved over to Newark. Went to school at Newark Grade School my entire life, and then went to Work County High School.
How greasy was it growing up?
It was pretty
up?
Greasy, bud. But that's what I knew, and it was good. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
You think so?
Yeah, man. In Freeport, you do it for excitement. You jump off the side of a hill towards the freeway.
I drive by that place all the time.
Yeah.
And then Den and Lane right across from it. I don't know who lives there now.
Well, my great-uncle Jack and Carol lived up there on top of the hill. Then Jack's kids, David Denon and Sonny Denon, they're all dead now, but they put places up there.
Sonny's buried up on Dry Ridge, ain't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonny and Jack, yeah.
So what was it like going through high school there? Was it nice?
Oh, yeah, man.
You got some good stories? What do you got?
Well, I don't know. Played football.
Yeah.
Played basketball. Didn't play my senior year of basketball, but football I played.
You were probably bad at it, weren't you?
Yeah, I was terrible. I wasn't no good.
You weren't as good as me.
But,
nobody was good as me in high school.
Shit. Dude, I wish we could have played each other. I would have fucking ate your lunch.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'd pancake each one of you.
Shit. What universe? It ain't this one.
Man, come on.
You go back in your prime, I go back to mine, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. No, the football there was good. I mean, we seldomly lost.
Yeah.
We were good. Played on the JV varsity squad, as a freshman, went out and played. It was only JV, freshman and sophomore year. Sophomore year, I got to play. I lettered, but, didn't start or anything for varsity. But then my junior year, I started. But I never took it real serious till my senior year.
Too late to take it serious.
But I took it serious because we had a serious line coach who come fresh out of college, and he knew all the latest blocking techniques that he showed us, and I tell you, I took that, and I mean,
it really put the hammer on it.
Yeah, it was. It took you from being like a D average student to an A plus superstar real quick.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And where do you learn the techniques?
Well, he was fresh out of college.
Oh,
he went to school at Work County, graduated from Work County, went to college, he played college football, and then his first job out of college was coming back to Work County, and he was assistant coach, and they made him the line coach, which is good. His name's Murray Mays.
Yeah.
But if he wouldn't have come there and coached that year, there's no way I'd have been as good as what I was. But
that's like freshman year for me. I was playing varsity. I didn't start either, though.
Yeah.
I got my letter. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Me and you got the same amount of letters.
I didn't letter till sophomore year.
Yeah, but I mean, my picture's hanging on the wall.
Yeah, I guess. My team was full of a bunch of retards, though, so.
Well, I mean, but that don't matter if you're individually good.
Yeah, that's, and like, I remember I was watching an old tape, I think it was from freshman year, you and mom recorded.
Yeah.
And you said in the background, in middle school, Bailey was guarded. You get to high school, and now he's like, kind of good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Hey, you were good.
I was all right. Yeah.
But, I mean, I wasn't very big.
Yeah.
I was at the most. During season, I probably weighed 185 pounds through season because I couldn't keep weight on. But I just used my speed and strength and the technique. And I think we went my sophomore year, we went 9-1. Junior year, we went 10-0. And then my senior year, we went 8-2. And
that's not bad.
Well, my senior year, we lost to Ritchie County, who was, we were single A, they were double A.
Yeah.
And then my senior year, we also lost to Pine Valley Grove, I believe, was the last game of the season. And we lost 7-0, I believe. It was tough. They had a defensive end that was 6'6", 230, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Is he rough?
I mean, he was good, but, I mean, I was tasked with pulling and blocking most of the game,
blocking them out, yeah.
Oh, well.
So these notes that you wrote.
What?
Directly after that, you got corning cars, egging people.
I was getting ready to ask.
Cars.
I was getting ready to ask that. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you know where? Where you?
The S turn. Yeah.
Yeah, that grew up there near the S turns, and every year for Halloween, that was the big thing. Everyone got together and bought feed corn.
Oh my
god. And
gosh.
Brought it over there in the S turns, and we'd set that feed corn up, and of course, everyone that drove through there knew what was going to happen, you know. So we would sit out there, and as soon as you hear a car, you know.
You get ready.
Yeah, get a handful of corn, and it takes a paint right off the side of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I think it was my sophomore year, I believe. The whole football team was over at the house, and
yeah.
We corn and cars, and
infamous
the cops
story.
Came and took a couple of football players off.
How'd that go?
Coach wasn't very pleased with that the next day when we didn't win by enough.
He didn't win by enough. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he made the comment on the side. Of course, I was a sophomore, so I wasn't starting or anything, but goddamn, kids out all night, corner cars, getting took to jail by the police. What do we expect? So, yeah. Well, when you're too stupid to run,
yeah.
You just stand there behind a tree. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, they can't see me here.
But I lived there, and, you know, I knew the woods by, like, the back of my hand. So the guys who stayed with me, we were fine.
So I'm going to guess growing up there wasn't a lot to do except getting in trouble.
In trouble, yeah.
A lot of times.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
We'd shut that one-lane bridge down.
Right there over the,
yeah. We'd drag logs and paper, whatever we could find, we'd drag there, and, you know, we'd close that bridge off. Cars would come around that turn there by where Seymour Settle lived and just slam on them fucking brakes. Then they'd turn around and go the other way.
They wouldn't bother moving.
No, they're too dumb.
Oh,
and we would just be sitting underneath the fucking bridge right there just laughing. You know?
You guys are dumb.
Fucking like 2 o'clock in the morning, you're trying to come home and you can't because fucking the bottle kids got the bridge closed off.
So you were, that's where Sam gets it.
I don't know.
I mean, I never did anything that stupid.
We'd egg people. We'd egg cars. We'd egg...
just anything.
Anything.
Anything that shouldn't have been egged.
Security guards.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There was used to be an old man that was security guard at the Hardee's there on 7.
Security guard for a Hardee's?
Yeah, because they were open all night. And everyone who come in there past midnight was drunk, so they had to have someone there.
Yeah.
So he was walking to work one night, and yeah, we just kind of pulled up and... hey, we need directions. And as soon as he'd come over to the car, we just blasted him with fucking egg.
Oh my gosh.
He was all humped over and we were just beating the shit out of him with eggs.
If we did that shit today, we'd go to prison. Yeah, we'd go to jail.
Yeah.
That's what sucks.
Yeah, I did it to a guy who was walking hand in hand with his girlfriend too. He was holding hands with her. And
did you get
her? We kind of pulled up there. It was like, hey man, we need directions. And as soon as he got close to the car, we just peppered him with fucking eggs.
Oh my gosh.
That's rough.
Peppered a guy on a bike. He ended up falling over and wrecking into a car.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's like that boy, when Sam was younger, that boy that just ride his bike by had the rat tail.
Oh yeah.
And he crashed right into mom's Saturn. He's looking at us jumping on a trampoline just riding and literally just runs smack dab and lands on the hood.
That's what you get for having a rat tail.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Greasy old rat tail.
Don't have rat tails.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That's a lesson.
I had a football coach had a rat tail.
That's gross. It's okay to have a mullet, but as soon as you go rat tail, it's like you live in a trailer park.
He was a terrible coach. He was so bad.
You're lighting your cigarettes off the stove type shit.
Yeah. Now, but back playing football, we had expectations, you know. You were expected to do certain things, and matter of fact, when the line coach, he got there, he's like, you know, this is your job.
Yeah.
He said, this ain't a game, this is your job. So that's, and I took it serious.
Yeah.
I was captain, and, you know.
That's the only thing that I wasn't, was a captain.
Same.
Somehow.
Yeah.
The offensive line was mine. Coach told me, this is your responsibility. And still wasn't a captain.
Yeah.
I wasn't the favorite.
I mean, it's not every... No.
No.
But Coach relied on me when I was out there to call timeout when it was necessary. And,
yeah.
You know, I think we were playing Doddridge County, and it was raining real bad, so we had to run the ball a lot. And it was... I forget what the score... I think it was... I forget the scenario, but we could have kicked the field goal and tied it, or... or we could have scored a touchdown, So, you know, coach in the huddle, hey, what should we do? And, of course, Eric Board, he was our running back. Yeah. He was the same size as me, but he could run a lot faster.
Yeah.
And I said, you just run the ball behind me. And we run just a dive play, Eric right behind me. And I had the guy pancaked in the middle of the end zone, and there Eric just walked into the end zone. So, you know.
Pretty reliable, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Screw that offense, shit. I was a D lineman.
I was, too. I mean, I never came off the field. I was defensive end, offensive guard, played every special teams.
Yeah.
And I got slammed playing special teams. I got carted off to the hospital.
Oh.
My senior year. Yeah, a dude from Richard County peeled back, and I didn't even see him. And the guy who – I was always the first one down the field because I come off the end, and, you know, you were just a gunner. You go straight to the guy who catches the ball. Well, the guy caught the ball, and I'm looking at him, and – a dude had peeled back, and as soon as that guy cut to his left, it had been my right, that dude just put his helmet right in my ribs.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that when you cracked your ribs? Yeah.
Yeah. Got carted off to the hospital.
That's better than dislocating your shoulder and having to drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was only a couple hour drive to get you to hospital.
Oh, my God. It was pouring.
Dislocated shoulder.
In a standard car in the pouring fucking rain. And every time he'd shift, that shoulder just rubbing that socket, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, good times.
And then the third time I dislocated, they had to shove my shoulder blade back in because it was like 4 inches lower than normal.
Yeah, your shoulder just got so bad it wouldn't even stay in sock.
No, it wouldn't.
Good thing about the ribs, though, they just gave me a wrap to put around me, and my offensive line coach actually took me to my doctor's appointments and said, you're going to play this Friday. He said, we're going to make sure of it. So
what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And he got me the release paper, and I played the next Friday. You know, I told coach, I said, I'm probably going to start. I can't start both ways. I couldn't breathe that well.
Yeah.
So they just started me on offense and a couple of special teams, maybe. Probably punt.
Ugh. Fuck that
punt return, but yeah, it was rough that next game. But after that, after my second week, it was fine. I was kind of over the pain. So.
So after senior year.
Yeah, but
did you have any offers?
Oh yeah, yeah, here and there. But I just wanted to go to work.
That's it.
Yeah, I weighed my options. You know, how good is a 6'2", 190-pound kid really going to be in college?
Yeah.
You know? You
weren't too big. You weren't.
Yeah.
You just worked hard. That's basically.
But I went to two All-Star games and started in both of them. The cystic fibrosis game, I started both ways in that game. Then I started in the North-South game against a kid who was 6'7", 290.
Jesus.
I didn't even play in that game.
Yeah.
Did you get invited to go?
I mean, I did, but I didn't even go.
Yeah.
Back when I went, you had to get sponsored. You know, you had to raise $200 or something. They sent you a packet, and you had to raise money and this and that. You know, as much. But it was a good experience. You know, you got to stay. It was like college life. You got to stay at the college, you know, in the dorms, eat the dorm food.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a game that would prepare you to get ready to go into college and play football, but I had no aspirations to do that.
So since you didn't make the decision to go to college, would you like – You just, what'd you do?
Just went to work.
What kind of work?
Well, I started out, I worked at, you know, where Dick Warner lives there on 47?
Yeah.
I worked for him. I made $4 an hour. There was no overtime pay. It was, if you worked 15 hours that day, you got $4 an hour for 15 hours that day.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, you know, he would run the tractors, bale the hay, and I would have the truck in low gear pulling a trailer, and I would stack the hay, steer the truck, everything, and load the hay myself, and then unload the hay myself. Yeah, it was rough.
What the fuck?
Yeah, for $4
an hour. Like, hop out of the truck, grab the bale.
But, you know, he taught me what hard work was, and he helped me buy my first car. We were driving past we need to go buy a refrigerator for one of his rental properties, and there used to be a store there in front of the mall that sold electronics and refrigerators and shit, and there was a little Toyota Tercel there for sale for $500. And of course, he used to own a car lot. He owned a Warner Pontiac or whatever it was. And we test drove it, and he said, we'll get this for $300. So we went back, and he said, how much cash you got on you? I think I had $120 on me, and he had, you
enough.
Know, he always had unlimited cash.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He said, give me $120. And we went in there, and yeah, he talked the guy down to $300, and we drove off with the car.
Shit.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
big pimping.
Yeah, and he just took it out of my pay. He took so much. He said it was only like another $180
or
something. Yeah, but he would only take out like $30 or $40 a week.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, and then I went to work from there. My brother worked at a sawmill in McFarland.
Yeah.
And he got an offer to go work in the woods driving skidders, so I replaced him in the sawmill for $5 an hour.
Fucking moving up.
But that was 10-hour days, 4 days a week, so you got that 3-day weekend, bud, to raise hell.
Get tore up.
Oh, yeah, $5 an hour. Yeah,
so that was your extracurricular activities was getting a little slammered and driving around Work County.
Yeah, man, I had an Isuzu Trooper, and we'd do some bad things in that thing, man.
Isuzu Trooper.
Yeah, because you could slide the back windows open.
Oh,
and
shit.
You could hang all kinds of stuff out them windows, and lights and rifles. And
moon people?
Nah, it was a little worse than that.
I think we're talking the big dirty.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were out there actually, me and a couple of my buddies. Actually, I got the... visit both of them when I was in a, what was it, 2 months ago. I came in for that football reunion, and it was me and Mike and Sam, and we were out driving around with a .22 rifle and spotlight.
And we 2 months ago?
No, it was back when we were back when I had that Isuzu Trooper.
Okay,
and, you know, there between Smithville and McFarland, we were somewhere in there, and there was a big old herd of deer down there in the lower field, and Mike was hanging out the window, just getting ready to pull the trigger, and that guy snuck up behind us without his lights on, and next thing I know, them cherries popped on.
Oh fuck
Mike hurried up, and it was a bolt action gun, it was lever action.
Even better.
So he ejected all the shells out of it. I believe it was a lever action, and he jammed the shells down in between the seats, and then he actually tossed the gun in the back. But the guy seen, you know, he seen what we were doing.
Yeah.
He seen there was a guy hanging out the goddamn car with a rifle.
No big deal.
You know, the goddamn light shining down the field. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But he searched that goddamn car, never found him shells. He said, if I'd have found shells, he did take the gun. But he said, if we'd had meat, we'd have went to jail.
No, yeah.
If he'd have found meat, if he'd have found a shell in that gun. But just lucky for us, he didn't find the shells.
Too stupid. And, too slow.
Well, he looked. You know, it's dark, and, you know, he's got three kids there, and he's like, what do I do with these guys? You
just
know,
let them go.
They were both a year older than me, so I was 18, they were 19 probably, and it was good times. So my buddy Mike had to go the next day and pay the fine to get the gun back.
Jesus. How much was it?
Oh, it was a couple $100. Yeah, and he had to do it without his dad finding out.
So. Yeah, I know about that.
Yeah,
I know about.
You gotta think though. Nowadays, it'd be really expensive.
Oh, I can imagine. That's why I don't fuck with, like, all those times we'd go on hunts and I would just sit and you're like, hey, just grab this gun. No, fuck you.
Nowadays, you do that, you get put on a list and you probably ain't gonna be able to buy a gun.
Yeah,
or
it's hard to tell what's gonna happen. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's another note. Together with your mom, where did you meet?
Oh, went to school together.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so we went to school. We never dated in school or anything, but...
not a priority in school.
Me and my girlfriend, I dated the same girl for probably 3 years, and we broke up. I after the sawmill, I went to work at Wirt Metals, Bill Raven's aluminum factory there in Wirt, in Elizabeth. And they actually moved their operation to Canton, Ohio, and I went up there to work. Me and my buddy Sam and another guy, Brett Evans, we rented a little apartment, a little two-bedroom apartment. Me and Brett shared a room, and Sam, I think we flipped a coin to see who got the single room.
Yeah.
And Sam won the toss, so he got the single room to himself. And then me and Brett's laying in the bedroom, you know. But I was gone a week, and that girl...
She couldn't handle
it. She borrowed my car through the week, and then it was funny because she pulled up in the car. You know, I got home, and I called, hey, I'm home, and... She pulled in the car, and I seen her best friend pulling behind her. And I seen there was a bunch of shit in the car. So what she did, she just brought the car and all the shit back. And then she didn't even stay. She just handed me a card, and then she got in the car with her friend and just left.
See you, bitch.
So that was the end of that relationship.
Yeah.
After I'd been with her for probably 3 years. You know, I was probably with her the same amount of time you were with Sean.
The other one.
Shine. Yeah.
The, yeah, the other one.
Yeah.
Fuck all that shit.
Yeah. I just burnt that stuff.
Yeah.
Me and my buddies, you know, we just right then, hey, just get some lighter fluid. We're going to set this shit on fire. You know, like teddy bears, some bullshit.
I got real drunk when I still lived in Illinois. I was feeling a little bad about it. I got real drunk and threw an engagement ring in a cornfield. Yeah. Yeah. Smart. Good idea. So how old were you when you started going steady with mom?
Probably 19 or 20. I was 19 because for my 20th birthday, she threw a birthday party for me. That
big
was,
one.
That was almost too much to handle.
Yeah.
There were some bad things that happened. And
what?
Yeah, it was just
what kind of bad things?
Oh, the police showed up the next morning. The next morning.
Oh, my God.
You know, I wake up to state troopers banging on my door.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, my buddy Mike.
Yeah.
He lived right next door to us. And, of course, everyone was there. There was probably 30 cars in the yard because we had just had a house to ourselves, me and Jamie and Tammy, because mom and dad were split up and they were trying to figure out who's going to get the house. And
yeah,
my dad ended up, he got the house, but he had to pay like half the equity of the house to my mom.
Yeah.
And so us kids were just in that house and we were just raising hell the entire time, you know, because mommy got her own place, but, and I think Jamie was actually getting ready to move in with her, but it's kind of like me and Tammy just kind of stayed there. But we, Sarah threw that fucking party for us. And this girl had got really drunk. And I think someone maybe slipped or something.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because, I mean, I've been drunk before. I've never done anything this stupid.
Yeah.
But it was, there was snow on the ground the next morning. And I actually told her, because she was a little bit younger than us. And I was like, you know, you don't need to be over here, you know, because she'd come from across the road. I said, you need to go back over there, but I don't think she ever did.
No.
And I was probably too inebriated
to really make sure
she left. But the next morning she had got up, she had walked out our back door, and there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
It was March, there was snow on the ground, and I'd heard someone yelling for me earlier that morning, but I never paid no attention to it. Well, apparently this girl had been so out of it. She left our back door, went outside, walked around a little bit in her bare feet, and actually walked in the neighbor's back door.
Nice.
Solid. Said hi to him.
Hey.
I need to use the bathroom. I don't know how she knew where the bathroom was. She walked right to the bathroom and just fell over and passed out.
Oh, my God.
So that yelling I heard earlier that morning was actually my best friend's father coming over screaming for me. But, of course, I wasn't getting up.
Fuck you. I'm.
Well, I, you know, I was just.
I just quit drinking 30 minutes ago.
So he called my brother was actually went to my mom's place and stayed, which was probably a mile away, and called Jamie, and Jamie showed up over there, and they walked into the bathroom, and her pants were down.
Naked.
Well, her pants were down.
Yeah.
So her U-Haul's out, and, you know, everything. And so they picked, and my brother told my best friend's dad, he's like, I know where she came from. I'll take her back to where she needs to go.
Yeah.
So he just pulled her pants up, buttoned them, put her over his shoulder, and then my brother carried her over to my house and just threw her down on the couch or something. And apparently, I think she woke up after that and left, because when them state troopers knocked on the door, because that, my best friend's mom, she's pretty religious. And
yeah.
So she called the cops, because that girl wasn't old enough to be drinking.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, no.
So
nice.
She had called one of her friends, and they decided, hey, we should probably call the cops.
Yeah.
So they call the state police, and the state police shows up on my door. And I didn't even know any of this stuff was going down. It was like, is there a so-and-so here? And I'm like, she was, but I told her to leave.
Yeah.
Well, was she drunk? I don't know. I didn't
see
her drinking anything. I told her to leave.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they can't come in.
No.
They asked to come in. I'm like, no.
Negative.
Nah.
No. Negative.
So
you stay out on the porch, motherfucker.
So I'm kind of nervous at this point. I'm thinking, you know, we're all just, I'm going to prison for something. And your mom was in there asleep in the bedroom. And so, yeah, it was a good time. So I went and woke her up, told her what was happening. And then I walked across the street. Apparently she had, after my brother threw her down on the couch, I think she came to after that and got up and went back to where
she belonged,
originally came from.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that girl and my best friend that grew up in that house are married and have two twin kids now. And yeah.
Shit. Oh, Lordy.
It's meant to be.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy?
That's,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So I'm sitting here and I see this note
probably going way back in time, but shitting in purses.
Oh, yeah. That's another good time.
You never heard these stories?
No.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we always like to fuck with people.
That same house, that's our, yeah.
Yeah, and the same, you know, we grew up near the S-turns, and there was always hell raised in them S-turns.
Yeah.
So, what can you do for fun? Well, my mom always had, my mom's a purse collector, so we always had purses galore to put stuff in. Well, what'll get someone to stop along the road is a purse laying in the middle of the road. And you put some change around it, and you put whatever in that purse. And a couple of my buddies were there, and he's like, well, I'll just shit in this purse. So we'd shit in them purses and put them out there and put change around them. You know, people just slam on. You know, you're from Work County. You know, there's a purse in the road with change around it.
Shit.
Oh, we won the lottery. They fucking just slam on them. This one guy, man, he come down, flying down through there. You know, you come off Spring Valley Hill, and everyone's trying to ramp the hill, and you're going like 80 down through there, and the next thing you know, the brakes just fucking lock up. Of course, we're in the woods. You know, we know the woods like the back of our hands, and we're watching all this. And fucking guy, he fucking picks that purse up and opens it up, thinking he's going to reach in there and grab, like, money or whatever. He said, there's shit in it. And his buddy goes, I don't care, just pick up the fucking change.
Jesus Christ.
That motherfucker took all our change. Yeah, we'd put anytime we'd find a black snake, you know, of course we'd put we'd put snakes in them. And then this one guy, he grabbed the purse and the change and didn't even open the purse up, because we'd zip them shut or fasten them shut or whatever. And of course we're watching, that car goes up the road, that purse comes flying out the fucking window. You know, I mean, that person was a big old black snake.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my gosh.
We always had a lot of fish and string, and, of course, you need trot lines and stuff like that. So we'd take some fluorocarbon, heavy-duty fluorocarbon, and put around, like, a big wrench, a big inch-and-a-half box wrench. You know, we always had wrenches.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, Craftsman made the good stuff.
And, yeah.
You know, you put that wrench out there and you have that fluorocarbon tied around that box into that wrench, and people would slam on the fucking brakes and they'd bend over to pick that wrench up and you just jerk it, because you'd be in the woods and they couldn't even see you. You know, they couldn't see you. You jerk that fucking wrench right out from their hand, man. They'd fucking just, goddamn kids. Oh, yeah.
There's fucking kids out here. Fuck that.
Yeah, we'd have people stop and fire guns off and shit like that when we'd fuck with them.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, not long after that, you and Mom got pregnant.
Yeah, lived in that little
mansion.
After I moved out of that place, because my dad was taking the house, so, you know, we kind of, well, we didn't demolish it, but we threw a lot of parties there and stuff, and my brother fucking put his fist through about every goddamn door, because he'd just get drunk and dumb, and, you know, but the place would need a little revamping.
I wonder why.
And I didn't have really nowhere to really stay, because Mom just had that two-bedroom trailer and Jamie moved in with her, and I don't even know where Tammy was going, but your mom's aunt and uncle had a little garage apartment.
Yeah, it's
and we
big
rented that. Yeah, it's a huge, ain't it?
It's little massive.
One bedroom, it was a little garage. They put a fucking bedroom in and a bathroom and had a little kitchen and
Just what you need.
Yeah, you could sit on the couch and put your feet on top of the TV.
Nice.
A little narrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, for $125 a month.
Fuck, I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could pay that.
Right there in Elizabeth?
Yeah.
And every time my friends would get drunk and they needed a place to stay, we usually left the door unlocked and wake up the person or two laying in that little narrow living room.
Get up.
Yeah.
So were you nervous, like, about?
About having a kid?
Yeah.
I don't know. I worked pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, and when I worked at Work Metals up there in Canton, we had so many people in that two-bedroom apartment, and then two other guys kind of moved in with us, and I was dating your mom, and I'm like, this probably ain't for me.
Yeah.
Living up there in Canton, you know, it's all I knew my whole life was Work County, so.
Move right back.
I moved back. I quit that job, moved back home, and started working for another company, Civic Development Group, and worked for them for a long time, actually, but I worked for them, and I'd work odd jobs on the weekends. I think when you were born, I worked two jobs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always worked hard and tried to have your mom worked two or three jobs as well. Hell, I think when she was pregnant, she was riding a bike, too. She worked at the Exxon and Giovanni's and worked at Wirt Inflatables.
Is that right behind Katie's house
now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do sewing and shit.
Yeah.
So you weren't nervous at all? You were just like...
Yeah, I was nervous, but I mean, I always thought, you know, if I had money, you know, money cures a lot of problems.
So, oh, yeah.
So if you worked hard, and I'd always work for cash on the side on the weekends and stuff like that, and I end up demolishing my finger working for cash on the side. And
nice.
Yeah. I drank a lot of beer. And
I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about that drinking.
Yeah. But you were born, I think I just turned 21.
Yeah.
Your mom was 20. But I'm glad I got it over with when I was young.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't imagine being this age chasing kids around.
Fuck that.
I'd want to shoot myself.
That's why I'm glad I'm having mine.
Yeah, I'm like semi-retired right now. Yeah. Sam's 18, and he just does his own thing. Yeah, you live 450 miles away, so.
I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah, me and your mom just kind of do our own thing.
Yeah, I think I'm doing okay for now.
Yeah, you are.
I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably better off than I, you know. You definitely make a lot. You make double what I made. When you were born, I probably made $8 an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
At my primary job, but I always worked other jobs. And things were a lot cheaper back then, too. But, you know, me and your mom each had a car.
Yeah.
You know, we had that little apartment. But when you were born, she was like, we got to get the hell out of this little apartment. It was.
Fuck this.
Yeah. Trying to raise a baby, and we lived in that little shanty.
So what I feel like now.
So we put a single wide over there by Work Inflatable. There in front of
Jeremy
and Katie's. So.
And so that, what was that, a telemarketing gig that you had?
Yeah, I actually worked for them and became a manager. Then I ended up running the place. And then they made me a regional manager / corporate trainer. And I flew all over the damn United States.
It was rough.
Yeah, I think there was one stretch for 18 months in a row I traveled.
Mm-hmm.
10 days a month for 18 months straight.
He'd bring me cool things home from different cities, like that Seattle Seahawk money clip. Remember that?
Yeah.
A watch, a bunch of just like random stuff.
They would call me like on a Wednesday and be like, hey, Monday morning, can you be in Montgomery, Alabama?
I guess.
I'm like, hey, you rent me a fucking car? And they, of course, they rented a car, they flew you, whatever. They paid you per diem on mileage.
Yeah.
And I made a lot, you know, I tell people now, you know, even back then, I probably brought home twice as much as I do now, but I found out pretty quick money ain't everything.
Yeah.
Once that job ended, and I realized that, hey, I can coach football every night. I can be home every weekend. Money's all right, but being home, you know, especially when you got two young boys.
Yeah.
To make sure they don't.
Raising havoc on mom while dad's gone.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I got a Playboy. I just got to high school, I think. Yeah, just. And one of the older kids gave me a Playboy. And I asked mom, can I have this? She's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's in there slow jacking.
Yeah, dude.
Jerking to a cock sore.
Yeah. And
Western grip.
You came home and found it, and then mom was like, oh, he can't have that. I was like, mom, you're a fucking liar. You told me I could have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She never told me that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a Playboy.
Yeah.
I was living.
I spent a lot of time on the road, though, doing that job. But, I mean, they treated me good, and they paid me good, and always, you know.
That's what I found.
Your mom didn't have to work, which was nice. But now both of us working, and both of us going to have a nice retirement and stuff like that. You know, I think things worked out for the better. I think, matter of fact, when I lost that job, I didn't lose it. The federal government shut them down.
Yeah, a little tax invasion.
Well, not just weird business practices, to say the least. But, I'd never been off work before and I didn't know how to act.
Yeah.
But it was pretty nice getting that unemployment. I think I got $1,100 every 2 weeks in unemployment and I was mowing, I had my own little mowing business, remember?
Yep. Yeah. Papa John's.
And then I was breeding dogs.
Yeah, you made.
Oh, yeah, breeding golden retrievers.
Yeah.
God damn.
A litter, you'd bring like what?
Yeah.
10?
Oh, quite a bit. I had Excel spreadsheets that did my cost and my, you know, how much money I made to my cost and everything, make sure it was profitable. And it was. It definitely was profitable.
Especially for case knives.
But the only thing is cleaning up the mess after them puppies. I don't want to do that no more.
The food and the shit would be all matted.
Yeah, yeah. Clean up after puppies, you know, and we took good care of them. But when you have 11 puppies that are just eating and shitting...
Constantly.
Yeah.
Eating, shitting, repeating.
Yeah, that's all they do. You know, it's like an infant baby. They just eat and shit. And puppies are the same way, but you got 11 of them.
Oh,
and, you know, a little breeding box or whatever you have, man.
Yeah.
The best thing to actually use for something like that is a kiddie pool.
Yeah.
It's honestly perfect for
that last litter we used at Kitty Pool.
Yeah, it's the best because you can just take that fucking thing out there and you can rinse it out. You
pressure
can
wash it.
Pressure wash it, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I'd never been off work and I was making more money than I'd ever, you know.
Bank.
Yeah, and I'm like.
Eating good.
And I had applied at the I'd worked at the university for extra help and they called me and offered me a full-time job, but hell, I didn't want to take it.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was like, God, dude, I like this. You know, I set my own schedule and I was doing my own thing. I had plenty of money, but, you know, benefits are definitely, you know, when
you were like this close to being an entrepreneur, like,
yeah,
like but, one step away and probably could have had his own business. And I'd yeah, say,
but when you, the benefits of having health insurance for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Means a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Because once you get 20 years, so you have health insurance for life.
How many years you got now?
I got 12 in, so I got 8 more years left before I can
fuck
see
off.
See you later. Yeah. And your mom's got the same amount of years in, so she'll have her pension and health insurance for life, and I'll have mine and health insurance for life. Because she actually started there 6 months before I did, so.
I mean, looking back now, I mean, if the political views of the state of Illinois wasn't so bad, I'd move back in a heartbeat.
I'd be living in there.
It's a shithole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I call it the armpit of America.
It's bad.
People are rude as fuck.
Yep.
I mean, there are good people out there. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of people who are just shitheads that, you know.
Left for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and like Matt's saying, you know, Matt can go to California and people are nice as hell. He drives through Illinois and people are just shitty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I attribute a lot of that probably to the weather because, I mean, you're cooped up at least 8 months out of the year.
For sure.
Where you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Because the goddamn wind's blowing 80 mile an hour into your ear hole.
Oh, my gosh.
Who wants to fucking go outside?
Yeah.
You know?
Football practice was nice, though. Be windy so you wouldn't get too hot.
Yeah. Oh, you'd dry off real quick.
Yeah.
But you remember them days when it'd be cold or snowing and raining? We'd be out there for football practice, and I think it was
miserable.
Yeah, I think the championship game for Sam's game, I'm trying to yell at Sam. I lost my voice.
Yeah.
And I was trying to yell at him on what to do because he was playing quarterback, and I couldn't talk loud enough, and he kept snapping the ball way too early instead of waiting for time to run off the clock. And he got to the sideline, and I didn't make him feel too good. It was my fault. You know,
stupid motherfucker.
I should have just called timeout and explained it to him. But, you know.
You're in the moment.
I blame a lot of that on the refs, you know.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
Fuck them.
We still won.
That's all that matters.
Championship.
Yeah. I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, championships.
So, you were on unemployment for, what, like a month? A month and a half?
Oh, not even. It sucked. I got, like, one full check and one half check.
Ew.
Yeah, it was terrible. And I started working where I work now.
Yeah.
But for a different department. Yeah. I worked for them for 2 years.
The
Division of Animal Resources.
Yeah. A little undisclosed location.
At a school.
Yeah, that's all we'll say about it. It's just a school.
Yeah. School.
So all my childhood, you were bigger.
A little bit.
A little bigger.
Not a little big.
So
huge.
That trickled down to me, and I gained a bunch of fucking weight that I directly blame on you.
It's your fault for eating that shit.
Listen, when you come home and there's fucking snack cakes and chocolate milk.
Generic Girl Scout cookies.
All the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So what made you want to get healthy?
I just woke. Well, I'd had a heart catheterization in 2016, and they said, oh, your pig heart's 30% clogged. The artery through your pig heart.
Yeah.
But still after that was in October 16. It was another year before I even tried.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up in, I think it was October 7th of 2017, and I rolled out of bed, and I'm like, this is enough. I'd been to the doctor the week before. I weighed 369 at the doctor.
Oh, my God.
I got on the scales that morning. I was 373 on the hub.
Oh, my God.
Like 373.4. I mean, that's I remember it vividly.
That's a heifer.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, God damn. I used to be a fucking stud. Now I'm just a fat, miserable, out of shape, fat piece of shit.
You got to hold your breath when you put your shoes on.
Oh, you know, you're trying to brush your teeth and everything's a jiggling. And, you know, when you tie your shoes, they're just, the laces are on the inside. I always wore like slip-on boots, and I still do wear slip-on boots. And I, you know, but when you're tying your shoes, you got to try to get your leg up. And,
yeah,
you know, and then everything's miserable.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I was always,
mean.
My back always hurt. My knees always hurt.
Mean.
Fucking kids were just driving me nuts. And, fucking Bailey be raising hell. Sam was bad too, but
yeah, I was not as bad. I'll say that. Yeah. Like I have some stories, but I was never as bad as Sam.
And Sam, you couldn't catch him to whip him.
No,
fuck,
never.
He'd just take off running. You ain't gonna catch me.
Sorry, bud.
He'd run in that. You know how we got that like utility room in the middle of everything, and yeah, he just run in circles. And you couldn't catch him.
And mom would get so mad that yeah, she would start laughing and just give up.
Yeah,
mom, you might as well stop.
Yeah,
you're not gonna catch him.
Yeah.
He's too quick.
That's but funny. I just had enough. I just like I got to do something. And then I'd been listening to Joe Rogan, and everyone kept talking about keto diet.
Yeah,
you know, I listened to The Fighter and the Kid, and that Brendan Schaub would talk about keto, and Joe Rogan would talk about keto, and Brendan would be on Joe Rogan talking about keto, and it seemed like at the time everyone was talking about keto, so I thought I'll just try that. I mean, high fat, I can eat a lot of sausage and cheese. I like my cheese.
Yeah, I know.
So I'd eat sausage and cheese, and but the kicker is no sugar.
That is,
I can stay away from sugar.
It's
I can too through the week, but
like
on the weekends,
last night we went to grandma's house fucking cookies and brownies and goddamn cake and macaroni salad with sugar in it.
She was pulling shit out of the goddamn freezer, out of
Reese's
the refrigerator,
cupcakes and shit.
But them cookies were slapping, weren't they?
They were banging.
Them fucking. She made chocolate chip cookies, and I mean,
soft.
They were cooked perfectly.
Oh, my
God. Not burnt.
Oh, man.
Just, like, fall apart in your hand. You just have to just
cram. You know how a Subway cookie is.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, man. No cookies moist out there better than a Subway cookie.
Moist.
These were good.
I know some places better than Subway.
Jimmy John's cookies are.
Oh, you know, Jimmy John's cookies.
Man. Insomnia cookie back home.
Fuck that place. I went in there, and it was like a closet, and it fucking was 120 degrees.
There's a bunch of drunk kids in there.
Yeah.
Hardee's has some good-ass cookies.
So, I'll say sugar is probably one of the most addictive things to try to kick.
Oh, yeah. Sugar, that's what's killing America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Heart disease.
If you think about it. I mean, look at how many fat people are out there, and they just don't know, and they don't care. Nothing's talked about in school about, hey, put the fucking Hostess cookies down, or this or that.
Yeah.
You know, they just... Back, I think it has to do with back in the probably 60s, you know, Coca-Cola come out, and Coca-Cola actually hired doctors
to talk
in congressional hearings.
Yeah.
And them doctors would say, hey, drinking a Coke is healthy for you.
Oh, my God.
Them doctors would say that. It's the fats you got to stay away from. Let's not eat eggs. Let's not eat the fucking middle of the egg. Let's not eat the yolk. It's got fat in it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're telling you to drink a Coca-Cola. Now, what kind of fucking sense does that make?
You ever seen how much sugar's in a fucking Coke?
Mm-hmm.
A Dr. Pepper's got like 44 grams in a can. Now, you got to think, there's 4 grams of sugar in a teaspoon.
Yeah.
So that's 11 teaspoons of sugar in a goddamn Dr. Pepper.
That's insane, yeah, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why we were so big.
Yeah. A lot.
Nothing more
than that
sugar.
I mean, it just makes you bloat, and it
swells.
It takes the carbs and stores those carbs in your body as fat, and... It's terrible.
You look like a melting ice cream cone of a human being.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to Joe Rogan and Evan Hafer last night, and Joe Rogan was like, that's the problem. There's too much incentive to be fat.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like the body shaming.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
Have you seen the goddamn... I went through Dick's Sporting Goods the other day.
Yeah.
And there's mannequins. They have fat mannequins now.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding?
Oh,
they have them at the mall, too.
They got them everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Fat mannequins.
And they got workout clothes on them.
Yeah.
No, I'm all for anyone who's overweight to go to the gym, but, you know, I mean, fuck.
Goddamn.
Let's not incentivize it.
Yeah, let's not promote it.
Yeah, let's not promote it.
I mean, ever since I lost 95 pounds, I feel amazing.
Oh yeah,
and I'm still not where I want to be, but I'm a lot more healthier than what I was.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just being able to sit in a lawn chair.
Yeah, and not get up and it's stuck to you.
You ever go to a party and you look around and you got some decrepit steel folding chairs or mm-hmm. those lawn chairs that someone says, "Hey, have my lawn chair," but you know you're just gonna fucking just snap it as soon as you sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I was.
My heaviest was 342.
Mine was 310.
Yeah.
373.
Tyler looks like he needs a fucking sandwich.
Yeah, he needs some mashed potatoes and bread with butter.
Jesus.
I had some toast this morning.
Oh, man.
Is that it, though? Just toast?
Apple butter.
Oh, well, there you go.
You need some protein, though. You need some, like, turkey sausage or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So what would you say was the biggest thing about the keto diet? Like the
no sugar?
Well, yeah, but, like, what did you have to tell yourself? Like any kind of...
You had to have enough willpower to stay off the sugar.
Yeah.
You had to have enough willpower to, when your kids are eating... You know, like Sam or someone, you know, you still have to buy food. Because Sam's in shape.
Yeah.
But he's got to have some of those simple carbs to burn.
Yeah.
So the hardest thing is going in there and looking on top of the fridge and you're seeing, you know, your favorite snack cakes or
cereal.
A box of cookies or Reese Puff cereal.
Oh, my
God. The other day, he had Cocoa Krispies and Reese Puffs. So I put some Cocoa Krispies in a bowl and I put Reese Puffs on top.
Oh, yeah.
And some whole milk.
You mixing fucking cereal?
Yeah, I laid in bed and ate that. Oh, man. Yeah, I mixed that cereal. Then I washed it down with some of the generic Girl Scout cookies. Yeah.
I'd say that's a big, like when me and Cheyenne did it together, that really helped. I mean, she lost fucking 80 pounds.
That'd be easier for you two because if you're both doing it, it was good. And your mom actually dieted with me, which helped a lot.
Yeah.
But to walk through the kitchen, you see that stuff and have enough willpower. Because there was, I think, 6 months I went without a cheat meal.
Yeah, I remember.
I went 6 months without a cheat meal.
Right before I moved out.
Because my goal was, I think my first goal was like 240.
Yep.
Well, actually, I had little goals in between there, and I actually carried a spreadsheet in my wallet that had goals on it with months on it. And I was always ahead, but I think my first real goal was like 240. Then I'm like, I could get to 225. So I get to 225, and going from 240 to 225 was hard. Like, I was working out, and I was busting my butt, but when you're building muscle and you're losing fat, it's all a mind game at that point. You really got to think, hey, what size jeans are you wearing and stuff like that, but that was still my goal. I want to get to 225 because, man, everyone's like...
Yeah, you look good at 225.
A lot of good-looking people are at 225.
Yeah.
But then I get to 225, I'm like, what about 205?
Oh.
So I got down to 205, and I look like a goddamn...
You look feeble.
Oh, man, I look like I'd been lost in the jungle for about 4 months.
You've been eating bugs.
But then I got to 205, and I'm like, you know what? What's 5 pounds?
Oh, my God.
And at that point, you're cutting a lot of water weight.
Yeah.
So I was even watching my water intake. Like, even at night, you're so thirsty. But if I can just go to sleep, it'll go away.
Yeah.
But I dehydrated myself all the way down to, I remember I was at the gym, and I got done doing cardio, and I hopped on the scales, and it was like 199.8. And you know what I did right after that?
Eight.
Went right to McDonald's. I think I got a Big Mac, a double cheeseburger, a large fry, a 10-piece nugget. And, of course, a large diet soda because I still didn't want no sugar. But, yeah, I would go out and run. Back then I was running at least 3 miles a day. On average, I would run 5. But, I took off one day, and I just started running. And, I got to 5 miles. I'm like, yeah, let's go to 7. Ran 7. It's like, let's go to 8. What's 8? Then I got to 8, and I'm like, I'm a mile away from the house, and I can do another 2 miles. And at that point, I mean, you're breathing – for me, the breathing was always the hardest part, but, you got your breath down, you got your pace down, and I'm like, I'll go 10 miles.
You ran 10 miles?
I ran 10 miles.
Jesus Christ.
Lord. And then I went home, and I immediately got in the bathtub.
And broken.
Because I was, running 10 miles ain't for everybody, but, but I was pretty proud of myself. I never ran over, I think at that point I could probably run 6 or 7 miles on a treadmill pretty easy. An hour on a treadmill, it's not hard at that point in time because, you're only weighing like 210 pounds and, you're just used to like I said, again, the breathing for me was the hardest part. I don't know. It always was when I played sports and working out at this time as like, and I even would watch videos on how to breathe while you run.
So there's definitely a technique.
Well, the smartest thing I ever heard that worked for me. That's, I don't know if this works for everybody, but the guy said, start breathing hard right from the get-go. Don't try to play catch-up.
Yeah.
When you get to the point, like you both played football.
Yeah.
You can make it 100 yards, you're not breathing hard. You're not even thinking about it.
Yep.
Well, you get that first lap down, you're like, it's time to start breathing hard.
Yep.
And then you're trying to play catch-up, and your sides are hurting.
Trying to redistribute that oxygen.
Yeah. So I would start, and I would kind of breathe real hard before I would even take off because I heard Don Shipley talk about getting that stale air out of your lungs, getting ready for buds or whatever. And then I watched that video of this this guy who was training people how to run, and he said, start running hard from the get-go.
Or breathing hard.
Start breathing hard from the get-go. So I would do that, and it would just get it out of my head.
Yeah.
Because once you're struggling to breathe a lot, you got to get
that. You want to quit.
You want to quit, and you got to keep telling yourself, Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Just suffer for another 10 minutes. You'll get used to it.
Yeah.
And eventually you do, but anymore, I don't run anymore because it takes a toll on your body. So what I do now is I just walk on an incline or I'll use my elliptical at home or something like that.
Yeah, that's where I learned my cardio from, was walking on an incline with him. I mean, you'll sweat.
But the bad thing with me, when I was running a lot, I was burning a lot of my protein, and you could smell it coming out of my body.
Smell like cat pee?
It smells exactly like cat piss.
Huh.
So you'd be running, you'd be like, what's that cat piss? Oh, it's me.
Oh, wow.
Because you're burning all that protein. As I eat a lot of protein, I was lifting weights, and of course I still lift. But,
yeah.
You know.
You're looking a little flabby, though.
What?
Yeah.
I weigh the same amount now as I did a month ago when I
look like you're losing it.
You just scared him a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So... Now
I weigh between 240 and 245. I stay right there all the time now.
Yeah.
I can eat what I want on weekends. Through the week, I just watch what I eat.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's basically what I do now, and I stay the same.
Yeah.
I need to stop. That's why I'm glad. Here. Tomorrow is the birth, and me and Shine are getting right back on keto. I'm going to drop down to 200 pounds. I haven't been 200 pounds in probably 15 years, I'd say.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I hate it. I hate being big.
Yeah.
I bought this shirt yesterday, Black Rifle shirt. And, of course, your mind is like, yeah, you're still huge. So I got a 2X, and it's big. So it's a waste of money.
It's like you yesterday. You said, hey, you look like you don't look like you have gains like you did last time. Well, my shirt's big, but...
Yeah. So now
I don't think I've lost any of my muscle.
Probably not. Yeah. I was just fucking with you. So what do you do for fun now? Now that you've...
Go to the gym.
Basically change your mindset. Just go
hike.
To the gym.
I love to hike. But your mom, you know...
She's
a physical labor job, so she, you know, on the weekends, she likes to rest, but yeah. I like to hike a lot, you know.
That's basically it, huh?
Get out fished.
Yeah, you like to
get out fished.
Listen, if you...
I ain't even fished this year,
Have you seen the rivers?
Man, I haven't been fishing in like 2 months.
I mean, ever since I lost that musk, you remember that?
Yeah.
That video?
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, losing all that weight, it does change your thinking of like... Like when Cheyenne first got with me, 340 pounds.
You were big.
I mean, she was always go, go, go. And I was like, I don't want to go do stuff.
That's how you guys were the whole time growing up. And I'm like in the mall and I can't even hardly, I can't find a place to sit down.
I'm glad she put up with me though because I was mean. I didn't want to go do stuff. Like I'd get home, smoke a J and like I would not move. And she's like, let's go to Eaton's Tunnel. Let's go, blah, you know, whatever. And I was like, nah. And now it's like switched because she's 9 months fucking pregnant. I feel terrible.
Yeah. Like me, I'm always wanting to go and your mom's hurting all the time. And I can't sit there no more. I can't lay there no more.
No.
I gotta always be doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
You know, I don't do as much cardio as I used to. You know, nowadays, what I'll do, I get an hour lunch, so I'll walk 2 miles during my lunch period. You know, I can walk 2 miles in under 40 minutes, get back, still eat my lunch, you know.
That's like that damn MCT oil. You tried it.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah, I can't. It hurts my stomach too bad.
That shit.
Oh, yeah. Just stomach cramp. As soon as I put it in my mouth, my stomach just starts hurting real bad.
I get nauseous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like pukey.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay if you're doing a keto diet and you want to boost your ketosis or whatever, but yeah, I'm not.
He got me to eat it one time, and
yeah, I bought it in the I bought it in the liquid form,
yep.
And it with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
I told a guy at work, I'm like, "What can I do?"
Tablespoon. I just do it straight,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then chase it with water, and then yeah. instantly my I'd be. Remember at work,
it'd be doubled over.
I'd be like, "I gotta eat."
Yeah,
and you're not supposed to because you're trying to fast, and you're like, "I just can't take it."
Yeah, it's so, terrible.
Yeah,
terrible, terrible. But I work out a lot. You know, I lift weights every 5 days a week. I lift. I do cardio at least 6 days a week. The only day I usually don't do cardio is like a Friday. And I work, but me and your mom will usually go out to eat that night or something.
Seven Saints action.
Something like that. You know, and then Saturday or Sunday we get up and we just go. We go to antique stores. We go to flea markets. We just go all over the place.
Yeah. I can climb them hills up in Rich County a lot better now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Turkey season was, I mean, I was a little out of shape, but other than that, just go.
Climbing them.
Yeah. Yeah, when I hike now, I put a backpack on and haul water, and I can fly through the woods.
Like, it's crazy. I feel bad for Dad because we had a turkey gobbling last year that was like miles away, like a mile away.
Yeah, he couldn't get there quick enough.
Huh?
Could he not get there quick enough? Or?
No, we got there in time. The turkey seen us.
Yeah.
But he just... It took us like an hour and a half to get back to the car.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And I used to be like that. Even back when I was younger, when I was 22, 23 years old, you know, me getting through the woods wasn't the easiest thing because I didn't work out as much. So now, you know, but now I can just fly up and down the hills or whatever. You know, I go hiking at Lake Mingo out there and it's not easy by no means. And,
yeah.
You know, it's 7 miles and, you know, your mom's about ready to die and I'm got the dog and I got the backpack full
just
of water
going.
And my knives and my... you know, if something goes wrong, I'm prepared.
Jesus.
You know, if someone goes down, I got a first aid kit or whatever.
Like
a
Mike Glover over here.
Yeah, you know, you got to be prepared.
So you don't watch TV either?
No, I don't watch TV. That's one thing I cut out. After I started dieting and, you know, you're watching TV and this is nothing but a bunch of bullshit anyway.
Yeah.
Fucking
cables.
Ads of fucking fat people and eat this and eat that. And then the people who are on these shows and shit are just elitist scumbag pieces of shit.
They really are.
Yeah.
Like Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, she's a scumbag.
Oprah Winfrey.
Hey, look at all of them. They're all treat people like shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about Ellen DeGeneres. She was her wife or whatever however you want to call it. But they're out to eat at a restaurant, one of them high profile lead scumbag restaurants, and she has a woman waiting on her. You know, the waitress takes her order, whatever, blah blah blah, brings it back, and you know, the waitress thought it was a good experience. Well, Ellen and her wife sent a letter to the owner of the restaurant complaining that their waitress had chipped nails. Her nail polish was chipped.
What? Who gives a fuck?
The owner suspended the girl for like 2 weeks.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a video about her where someone was on her show and she wasn't allowed to touch Ellen. And like they were laughing about something and accidentally touched her.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, I wasn't supposed to touch you on the show."
Yeah. And I think another thing that come out was people weren't supposed to, I guess, look at her.
Yeah.
Like look at her in the eyes or what, you know, make eye contact. You know, what do you think about when you hear shit like that? I mean, that's how, you know, the people, that's how kings and queens and you know,
dictators,
people are just dictators, elitist scumbags are, you know, don't look me in the eye.
The thing I hate is when these high profile people get on their platforms and then decide to preach their political and cultural views. It's like, you're not like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
No. You are nowhere. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about taxes because you make enough that, you know, what's an extra 5 or 10% on taxes?
Yeah.
Get off your goddamn platform and don't tell me how to live my life.
They think they know what's best for us.
Yeah.
And they don't. They have no clue what it's like to try to raise two boys in the middle of West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, living off of the salaries that you make. You just, it's insane that they think they have a right to tell you how to live or know what's best for you. They don't. They don't have a fucking clue.
You know what I tell them? Go eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah. Hey, you shouldn't have guns, but I've got a goddamn armed security team that travels with me, and I live behind 8-foot gate, iron gate my house is surrounded by.
Yeah, fuck that.
Or iron fence or whatever.
The whole Second Amendment, the controversy with that, anyone that disagrees with me can go get a serving from the dick buffet. I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah, and all the people have armed security teams that travel with them and stuff, and they're all armed.
There's a gun right in that bag right there.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell me. Sorry.
Yeah, it's insane.
So on to guns and knives. What's your favorite? What do you got going on?
My favorite knife right now is, I don't know, man.
Too many?
Yeah, I'm a big Essie fan.
I need one.
Essie knives.
Yeah.
They're good for fixed blade use. They're good for hiking. They're a good use knife.
Like an all utility.
Yeah. Like if you're going hiking or camping or something, you know, you can take an Essie knife and you can baton it through wood. You can process firewood with an Essie knife. You can bang on the back of it with another stick to put that knife through a log to split it to create a fire.
Yeah.
Whereas a Benchmade or something, you know, how many people want to take their Benchmade knife and try to use it in the woods to process firewood? You're just not going to do it.
It looks good in my pocket, though.
I use mine to gut deer.
Yeah.
Well, look at
and
this.
And I used my 940 to process a deer this year. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a guy give us a deer, and I used my 940 to process it.
Do good?
Yeah. Oh, it done wonderful. It's just, you know, when you pay that much for a pocket knife, a flipper pocket knife, you know, you're spending $200 on something. You know, you don't want to get a scratch. You know, when you first get it, you're like, oh, I don't want to drop this thing. You know, if you drop that, if you took that knife right now and you're walking into Walmart and it falls out of your pocket and skids across the parking lot.
It's going to be scratched up.
Yeah.
I've already scratched it. It was is it right here on the handle.
Whereas my Essie knives, they have the micarta handles.
You throw it across the parking lot.
You rub the finish off. They come with the finish blade because they're 1095 steel. They do make some in S35VN, which are nice, but, you know.
That's like my 943. I gave that to my father-in-law,
yeah.
Matt.
Oh yeah.
And I really hope he carries it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to switch him over.
He will. I'll be a fanboy.
I mean, I like.
I got a couple of Mitch Maids too.
Yeah. I like case knives, but as far as like a utility knife and the lifetime warranty, a Benchmade's the way to go.
Yeah. Well, best knife I ever used hunting too.
Well, and Essie has lifetime warranty. You can take those and you can tell them, hey, I was processing firewood with this and batoning it and.
So they actually advocate for processing.
Oh yeah, they have videos.
Holy shit!
They got their own YouTube channel. They got their own Facebook following.
You're gonna have to buy me one.
Listen, bud.
You just come on. You got money.
I got a couple in my bug out bag out there.
I got a baby on the way, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Times are tough. You think when I was your age, I had all the stuff I have now?
No,
I didn't.
That's
have.
What I got to tell myself.
I didn't have any.
Slow down.
You know, I had a baby one or two pocket knives.
Yeah.
I always had deer rifles and shotguns and stuff, though, but I don't really have the need for a deer rifle now.
Yeah. You know?
I think the last deer rifle I had, I gave it to your grandpa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so what's your favorite type of guns? I mean.
Well, if shit's going to go down.
Yeah.
And people are knocking on your door and asking you for your passports or whatever you need.
Yeah.
To be able to buy some bread.
Yeah.
You know, you give me a Ruger 10/22 and an SE4 and I'm hitting the woods. Because you think about how many 22 bullets you can carry.
Oh my God, thousands.
Your pocket.
Yeah, in your pocket.
In your front pocket, you can fit a couple hundred, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you can have it, you can buy 30 round mags for them. I think you can even buy drum mags for a 10/22. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah. Small, easy to carry. You can put a scope on it.
Yeah. I think
scoped,
that might be.
Scoped, unscoped, whatever.
Kill anything.
A Ruger 10/22 is going to be my next purchase. For Peyton.
Yeah,
and
a pink one.
For me.
Get a pink one or purple one. Yeah. Get a matching set, you know. A
little drum mag for it. Yeah, Peyton, let's go. Let's go to the shooting range.
You could probably get the stocks in any color.
Oh, yeah.
You can always buy aftermarket stuff for them. They're probably, you know, real simple to work on, things like that. But if things are going to go down and you want to hit the woods quick and you need something, yeah, you can kill a deer with a 22.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot it.
Shoot it good enough.
Shoot it in the head. It's going to drop. Trust me. I've shot plenty of deer in the head.
Same.
With the same kind of rifle.
I'm telling you, you need an AR, dude.
Oh, what the, you know.
Come on. I can't be the only one at this table with a goddamn AR. Someone needs to get one.
I used to have that High Point.
That High Point was nice.
That High Point was badass.
I'm telling you.
You know, I got Glock 19, Glock 43. I got a little 22 pistol, you know.
I don't know.
But if you talk about handguns, you know, Glock or Sig, either one's going to be good. But a Glock, you can take out some bitch and bury it in the river for a month and pull it out and it's still going to fire.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, leading up to current dictatorship in America and political climate, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to come down to show me your papers to be able to move freely.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. But, you know, I can take that jab and shove it straight where the sun don't shine, because I'm seeing too many people die over at a young age of heart complications. We had a guy just this week. He was 54 years old. He's a superintendent of a group at work, and he had died.
Really?
Well, look at your grandpa. He was the healthiest one out of all his siblings. And
yeah.
I don't know if he had to jab or not. I'm sure.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It really sucks, because I was having this conversation with mom last night. Of course, she's paranoid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had shared a picture on Facebook of a little girl and in the background the Twin Towers, and the caption on the picture was, "The America you grew up in doesn't exist." And I got to thinking, like, even in my lifetime, you know, growing up in grade school,
it's changed.
What you thought of in school back then of America was like, hey, this is the best place to live, and now it's like, oh, look at all the problems we have.
Oh yeah, when I was in school, if someone would have sat down during that Pledge of Allegiance every morning that we had to get up and do, there'd have been someone sitting down, their parents would have been coming and getting them. They would have probably when they got home, them parents would have probably lit them up.
Oh yeah. And
that shit just don't happen.
My shop teacher, Mr. Root, Sam's shop teacher.
Oh yeah.
He's a veteran, right?
Yeah.
And there's this kid in my metals class, metals 3, like the top tier metals class you could take. I actually ran the classes there for a little bit. Mr. Root was like, "This is all yours. You direct the schedule, what we're gonna do, like the rails we built for them old stairs under the PC hallway."
Yeah.
Right here. I was a leader of that operation. Yeah. And this kid kept sitting during the national anthem. And we had a block class, like an hour and 10 minutes. And he called him out. He's like, "Why are you sitting?" "Well, that's my freedom. I can do that." And he was like, Yeah, you're right. But why?" And this kid was, "Well, gays aren't treated well, and you know, I'm going to a really ethnic high school."
Yeah.
We're all accepting of everybody. Yeah. And he was like, "You don't understand how good you have it."
Yeah.
The fact that you can do that,
yeah,
you should be a little bit more respectful. And ever since that little conversation, that kid always stood.
And you got to think about it. In this country, do you see people, gays, anybody, do you see them getting treated bad?
No.
They don't. They get treated excellent. Matter of fact, you know, I don't got a problem.
No.
With anyone of any sexual orientation.
Unless they
you can do whatever you want. You can do all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see them getting treated bad. People are, a lot of this stuff is just made to push an agenda.
A narrative.
Exactly. A narrative, and it's a bunch of horse shit. Yeah. Because these people aren't getting treated bad. I mean, you think about it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. There's a meme. It says, "I want my fellow neighbor gay couples to protect their pot plants with AR-15s.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have a cousin that's part of the walk away campaign, you know, where he's a homosexual, but he's not a liberal no more.
No.
He's a conservative.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's part of the whole walk away movement.
Yeah.
Getting away from that left wing, you know, I'm a victim. Oh, a victim of what?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, you live in the greatest country in the world.
The greatest.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want here.
Every country up until 1776 was dictatorship. Yeah. King, queen. This was the first experimental country where individual freedom and a self-governed country.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think of that.
Yeah.
And you got to realize that's the reason we're number one in the world.
Yeah.
So if we keep looking at things that don't matter, we're not going to be number one.
Oh, yeah.
China's buying land here. A lot of shit's going on.
And you got people like LeBron James telling you.
That guy's a fucking puppet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's something else. Meanwhile, there's Chinese children putting together his shoes, making his jerseys, and we're over here buying them. We're over here just buying that shit.
I wonder how much it takes to build a LeBron shoe versus the profit on the turnaround.
I ask that six-year-old that's over there having to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, he wants to talk about oppression in America. Well, look who's making
his shoes.
His apparel.
Yeah.
You know, and look what the Chinese are doing to the Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting them in, they're shaving their heads and putting them in concentration camps, forced labor camps.
And that's going on right now. I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast with that North Korean lady.
I haven't listened to that one yet.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
She was like, after moving here and people bitching about slavery and reparations, when slavery is going on right now.
Yeah.
And you're over here as free as can be, and you're bitching about slavery.
Yeah.
She said she doesn't understand it.
Yeah, posting how capitalism is bad on your $2,000 MacBook Pro, and you know, you got your iPhone there, and you know, and your Starbucks coffee, but you're talking about how capitalism is bad.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense there.
I'm telling you, people are going to be in for a rude fucking awakening. Yeah.
And these kids, these people growing up these days, they don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
All they know how to do is complain.
Yep.
Oh, I'm gonna get it because I complain. They don't realize that, you know, you look at how I grew up.
Yeah.
You know.
Poor.
Poor.
Poor,
you know, as
fuck.
I was one of those kids who got to work at the school through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my mom told me, she's like, if you can work and buy your own school clothes, you can pretty much do what, you know, I'm not going to be hard on you.
Yeah.
And get kind of, you know, you're usually, I'm usually, she knew I was kind of lazy in school. You know, you're going to hold some C's and D's. It's not a big issue if you can just buy your own school clothes. And that was a big alleviation for her.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think about it. She worked two jobs, make a minimum wage. She had three kids. My brother dropped out of college and went to work at that sawmill. And that's who gave me my lunch money.
Yeah.
You know,
that's.
You know, you're getting your lunch money off your brother, and you're working for the school through the summer. And
tough.
Yeah. And, of course, I had to disown. There was a counselor that came, I think, my junior year, who, "Hey, Jerry, you need to go down to the guidance office. There's someone here to talk to you." And I get down there. I'm like, "Well, why are you talking to me?" "Well, we like to reach out to kids who don't have a lot and this and that." I'm like, "What? I got everything I need."
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm a football player. You know, I just never thought of it, you know, but I was we were poor as dirt.
Yeah. You but, know. I mean, look at the lessons it taught you as a small child until now.
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't want for anything.
No. I've always worked. I've always wanted to work. Because when you're growing up and you see people who don't work, I think as a man, it's the worst thing you can do for your kids is to sit around. Because your kids see that.
They see it.
Yeah.
And it's a
bad example.
If dad did it, I mean, I can do it.
Even if you, and I've seen this happen, but you got guys out there who maybe they inherited money or something.
Yeah.
And they just quit their job and they sit around. That is terrible to show your kids.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be doing something. You know, your kids need to see you getting up, getting out there, moving around.
Yeah.
You know, because what's going to happen is that kid is just going to rely on you then to pass away.
Yeah.
And hopefully leave you some of that fortune. Well, meanwhile, that fortune's been blown because
I was sitting around.
Dad ain't worked.
Yeah.
You know, we bought a house. We got this. We got some new side-by-sides.
Fucking golf cart with big wheels on it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to leave you a couple broken down side-by-sides and some deer rifles with scratches all over them.
Yeah, I just...
You mean I got to go to work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was guilty of it. I mean, through my 20 years, I watched you take 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
Living with you. And then I was even guilty of that mentality of, fuck, I don't need to get up. When I was in the Ironworkers Union, I was a fucking lazy piece of shit.
Yeah, you didn't even want to answer the phone. Meanwhile, I'm out there working every day.
Yeah. And I just... When I got with Cheyenne, that's when it really clicked. Like, hey... This person's relying on you.
Yeah.
Go the fuck to work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not hard. Get up.
Yeah.
Well, getting up's not hard.
When my dad got laid off and just sat around all that time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a terrible example to
set. Cause and effect, right? Directly to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You come home, he's still... You leave, he's in bed. You come home from school and he's sitting there.
He's maybe moved 10 feet.
Yeah. Getting maybe $40 a week unemployment. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a lot because he had... drawn so much of it, and my mom's out there working two jobs, and then they end up splitting up, and you know, then mom's sitting there with three kids
not knowing what the fuck to do.
Yeah, could you imagine?
God damn,
that's insane.
Yeah, so I told myself then at a young age, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna work a lot, you know, hopefully it'll show my kids. If you want stuff, you gotta work for it.
Yeah, there's only one reason I could buy this.
Yeah,
I mean, I work my ass off. You see it.
Yeah, I do.
Who does our boss rely on?
You.
Who do you think he's relying on in September when he goes on a week vacation?
You.
And the other day he was he made it kind of clear. He's like, I'm looking for someone to take this over. He said it directly.
Yeah.
And she just kind of looked at me and I was like, it's your dog and pony show, dude. Yeah. If you want someone to sit in that office and do what you do, I mean, I've proved myself pretty well. I'm your highest paid collector in the history of the company. So let's do it.
And I've always been the type of person where I'm always watching.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be working and I'd see my boss or see a foreman or whatever. When I worked at Work Miles, you see your foreman. I can do that.
Yeah.
And I always watched people. That way, you know, when they leave or whatever, you know, I know how to do that.
Free game.
Whatever, you know. But that's how I moved up with that other company. You know, it just like I'm better than... I can do that.
When you're sitting in your workforce and you look around and there's just a bunch of people that don't want to be there, or you know that they don't have the mentality of trying to do that job, and you're just looking like, I can do that.
Well, I think, too, that playing sports in high school and you know, being held accountable for your actions, you know, as a team member, as a captain, you know.
Hey, you didn't make that block? That's your fault.
Yeah. Matter of fact, when I was in high school, man, You had the boot crew.
Yeah.
And these guys were people who played football, but they graduated already. And when you come off the field for halftime, they would stand there, you know, in a row, and you walked in between them on your way to the locker room. And if you were having a bad game, or if you missed a block, or if you weren't working hard enough, they would tell you,
hey,
what the fuck are you guys doing out there? Oh, yeah, it would be that blunt. Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
So you don't have your coaches telling you that, or your team members, but you got people who you looked up to, you know, who were a year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. They always wore Rocky boots with their pants tucked into their boots.
Oh, yeah.
And they stood usually in the end zone.
Yeah.
And those were previous Work County football players. And like I said, when you come off the field, and I remember vividly one game I come off the field, I think we were playing Parkersburg Catholic my senior year, and a guy who was a buddy of mine, he graduated year before I did, and he just by Jerry, what's going on? What are you doing out there? Why are you not doing this or that, you know, and you were just held accountable to being good, you know, to putting forth the effort, not just being good, but, you know, you had to put forth some effort.
Yeah.
While you're out there. And, you know, when we played Parsburg Catholic, we always thought, they're not very good, so we could kind of relax. Or when we played Gilmer County,
yeah,
we could kind of relax during this game. And next thing you know, you're winning, but not by enough.
But not by enough. Because you know that ass junior to get in the locker room is going to be terrible.
Oh, that and the next week's practice.
Oh.
I remember showing up for practice the next week, probably on a Monday, and we had to do I forget what they were called, but there were different stations set up all around the football field.
Yeah.
You know, you had to first start out by bear crawling, then you ran to a station where you jumped over a log, then you ran to another station where you did forward rolls or whatever, you go to another, and you're running as fast as you can between these stations.
Yeah.
And by the time you get back to the front, it's your time to go again.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, you're playing on a team that has, what, 20-some players?
Oh, yeah.
30 players at the most, and you're like, and next thing you know, you're puking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've ran, you've just struggled that much.
We had a drill in high school. I mean,
and that was just for not winning by enough.
Yeah. And we had a drill in high school. I mean, we were nowhere near as good as you guys, but it was a defensive drill. Well, yeah. And the coach would hike the ball. Like,
yeah.
It'd be just the defense lined up, hike the ball, and he'd drop back.
Yeah.
So, of course, every defensive player they're looking at has to react, and then he'd throw the ball, and everyone would have to book ass to whoever caught that ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it, I remember, I mean, we had like two different defenses.
Yeah.
And I'd be so goddamn tired, I'd puke. And it's just like, I mean, you have responsibilities.
Our coach would do that, but he would call it dog pile.
Yeah.
And it was just a loose ball.
Yeah.
And that's why I led the team, my senior year, I led the team in fumble recoveries, because you were always taught, you know, that ball's loose, you get to it, you get on it right away. But yeah, my coach, Coach Lucas, was a head coach. And he was a great man. He still is. He was at the that little get together we had there a couple months ago.
Yeah,
he was there, and it was nice to see him.
Yeah,
but he always looked up to him. He was a good guy. I ran into him a few years ago, and me and Mom were in Walmart, and we started talking bullshit or something, and Mom thanked him for all he ever done for me, and he goes, "Well, hell, Cheryl, that was good times. We had a lot of fun." I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I didn't have very much fun. God damn.
You ran the dog piss out of me.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of them scenarios where if I'm yelling at you, I like you. Now, when I don't, if I'm not talking to you,
if I show you no attention,
you know you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
So as long as he's yelling at you, I guess I'm doing something right. But he always lived down here. There's a little housing development or something. If you turn there, by Pizza Hut there by Hardee's or something. He lives back in there, so he's always lived there. But
yeah.
After I graduated, he coached at Ware County a couple more years, and the parents just, I think,
ruined it.
Right?
Well, you know about that.
Yeah, it's...
Parents suck.
Yeah, especially now in the digital age where people can get on Facebook and talk about you.
Take videos.
You know, like I had a parent who's on the board after a playoff game tell me that I'm a bad coach.
Yeah.
After winning the game 28-0, a playoff game.
Yeah. Bad.
You win 28-0.
Terrible.
Oh, you know.
You're not a very good coach.
And they were a board member.
Did you tell them to stick it? That's what I
would have
done.
There was a meeting the next week.
Yeah.
And I straight up told her, I was like, you know, I'm no longer going to speak to you. Don't speak to me. And if you want to coach, I'll take my whistle off now. You can have it, and you can coach the team. There's two more weeks left of getting through the playoffs. If you think you can do better than I can, you go out there and do it. But there's me and like two other people out there trying to coach 30 kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, when the game's over, 28-0, I mean, the game had just ended. It wasn't like the next week. It wasn't the next day. It was right after you win a game, a board member of a fucking parent telling you you're a bad coach. You're just not very good at this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels like it.
Yeah. Good job there.
Yeah. Goddamn
ass. What was my record during coaching? Think about that. How many games did we lose? Not very many. Probably count them on one hand, the amount of games we lost in 10 years.
Yeah, literally.
I coached for 10 years.
And then he wouldn't move up to high school to coach me.
Fuck that.
He's too fat.
Well, no, that it's just a high school coach has to be able to...
Be there,
do the film. You know, I was my coach was a big proponent of film, and
yeah.
on Sundays, we had to report to the locker room on Sundays to watch film. The film of the game you just played, and then film whatever he's been able to collect on the team that we're getting ready to play the next week.
Yeah.
So you were in there for probably 3 or 4 hours on a Sunday. Now, Monday practice was pretty usually lax.
Yeah.
You know, it was just there wasn't a lot of running involved. It was usually just half pads. Mm-hmm. But Tuesday and Wednesday were rough practices.
Yeah.
Thursday was kind of walk through. There was not a lot of running and stuff on Thursdays either, but
kind of warm up, go through plays.
Warm up, make sure you know your plays. Make sure if you have a question, you better fucking ask it now. Because during the game, if you ask
them, I'm gonna fucking see you.
Yeah, someone's gonna smack you.
Yeah.
You're gonna get pulled to the sidelines.
I'm gonna rip your helmet off and treat you like dog shit.
Yeah. Yeah. If the
And I never understood the kids that would go through the week and just not retain any fucking information.
Yeah.
Like, we've been working on it for 4 days. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or who do I block?
Well, yeah. I would get that.
Get off my line now.
Mm-hmm.
Get off.
I played guard, and usually by the time I got up to the line, the tackle who, my junior year, I played right offensive tackle.
Yeah.
In my senior year, I started out at offensive tackle, but then I very quickly got moved to offensive guard. They wanted to put me at tight end.
Ew.
And it was pretty prevalent the first couple of receiver practices that was not going to work for this old boy.
No.
So I immediately got moved back to offensive tackle. And then I think by the second game I was starting offensive guard because coach wanted me pulling about 3 out of 4 plays.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty quick. I could get outside pretty quick. I could get to the linebackers pretty quick. And I got moved to guard. And then, you get up to the line, you know, the quarterback calls the play and how we get up the line. And the right tackle, he was a junior, I was a senior. And what's the count? Who do I got on this, Jerry?
But
I would tell him, you know, he was good, though. I mean,
yeah.
And I played defensive end. I think I played right defensive end. He played left defensive end. He was a good defensive end because he was tall. He had tall arms. Anytime a quarterback would try to throw over top this guy, he would knock it down. It was, you know, he done good.
I don't get the people that couldn't retain information.
No.
I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. Like, you fuck up a count. I mean, I was center. But if you fuck up a count, that's directly your fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I surprise half my guys with a little quick snap, and they're like, hey, motherfucker, stop. And I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
Can't. I got too much going on.
Yeah. I took it pretty serious my senior year.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm drinking tonight. Sorry.
Like, I tried to hold – because, you know, I talked to you about how people would talk to us coming off the field during a game.
Yeah.
And that kind of just rolls downhill, and you do the same thing to the underclassmen. So as a senior, you're like – because, you know, as an underclassman of Work County – Those seniors were just, I mean, you looked up to them. They knew what they were talking about. If you didn't listen to them, you're going to get a nasty.
Get your shit rocked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as a senior, I got the same mentality. If someone was going to get kicked off the team, the coach would pull us captains in to make sure we wanted them kicked off, because he would just leave it up to us.
Yeah.
And
that's good life lessons. It teaches you individual and team responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it carries directly into life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think playing sports as a kid, it teaches you a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not, I don't know, you need to be doing something.
Yeah.
Going to school and coming home.
I don't know if I'm ready to sit at some fucking softball games, dude. I don't know.
Oh, man, nothing's funner than watching girls basketball.
Oh, dude.
Hey, what's the final score? 12-7?
Yeah, I
they're mean playing basketball.
Oh, but it's the worst.
They are rough.
I hate it. I hate watching girls sports.
You know what's worse than girls basketball is youth soccer.
Oh.
They run and kick it out of bounds every 5 minutes. You know, it's
soccer
just,
sucks.
We got to
so
throw
much.
It back in bounds again.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, remember when Sam played soccer?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because
they're looking at the ball. They're not looking up. And next thing, they're just running right to, oh, here they go, kick it out of bounds.
Hey, the goal is over there.
But between that and watching girls basketball where the score is, you know, 18-6 or whatever at the end of the game.
I guess I just have to try again for a son.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my only hope. Yeah. And if I have another daughter, I'm getting my fucking shit cut. Not having any more kids.
I think 2's enough. In this day and age, you can't. It's so expensive
now to have kids.
Yeah. Because the price of everything, it just keeps going up.
You know
up
how much
up,
a fucking up. Can of, like, name brand formula is at Walmart?
Oh, it's
$29.
Yeah.
And that'll last 4-5 days. $29.
Yeah.
And you got to think, I mean, we've applied for government help. I think the email, just laughed. Yeah. They were like, you make way too much.
Wait, you're one of them people that want to go out and work?
Sorry,
if you're one of them people that just wanted to sit at home and do nothing, here you go.
Here's fucking $500 a month.
Thanks a lot, AOC.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that bitch.
You see the newest video of her dancing in front of the Capitol about the whole rent moratorium where they're, there's a rent moratorium now that it was getting ready to expire, but I think a moratorium's a word for it, but basically it's if you can't afford to pay rent, you can't get evicted.
Oh, so I should tell
you. The CDC extended the bill. You know, there's money, I guess, to give these people to pay their rent, but it hasn't went out.
How does the CDC have the power to do that?
Exactly.
Yeah. They don't.
Yeah. It's insane. But she's dancing with a bunch of other yahoos in front of the Capitol building.
Fucking idiots.
You know, they're saying that they're, you know, this whole thing about being forced to pay rents, like...
Oh, it's systemic racism.
Oh,
it's
not that. You know, they're talking about how it's... I don't know.
Some bullshit.
Yeah,
just tell them to buy their own house.
So then there's a pic. They're doing this without masks on, right? They're dancing and fucking talking. And at the end, they're going to do a group picture, right?
Yeah.
Oh, for the group picture, though, as soon as the photographer picks his camera up, she puts her mask on.
Whoa.
You know, well, she got to push that agenda of, hey, you know, stay muzzled.
Yeah, rules for thee, not for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we have to look forward to. So I just... The whole outcome of this goddamn shit, I don't know where we're heading. That podcast I was listening to last night.
Straight downhill, bud.
They basically said the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
get ready.
Operation Lockstep. I don't know if that's real or not, but
it's fucking creepy.
A lot of things make sense in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lockstep, what's...
You sent me that.
Oh, yeah. What was that about again? It's about...
The Rockefellers... 2010.
The whole COVID thing. Yeah. And Operation Lockstep. Yeah. It shows the government exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You know, when there's a breakout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
And the Rockefellers like the most powerful family in the world.
Oh yeah.
Trillions of dollars.
I wish I had that much money.
Your public education is based a lot off of the Rockefellers.
That's awesome.
I think they had a key role in deciding, you know, what is taught.
Yeah.
How it's taught. Yeah. You know, you do this and I'll donate you some money.
Yeah. I think we're in trouble.
Yeah. Make the dumb dumber.
I wish
they don't question.
I could make enough money to keep Cheyenne and Peyton home and homeschool. I mean, I really want to homeschool.
Yeah.
I just got to find a good job around here that'll make me financially stable enough to keep them home.
Well, you don't even really have to homeschool. If you could send them maybe to a private school.
Yeah.
Catholic.
Like you, I wish we could have sent you to St. Thomas More. But, you know, it's money.
And
being a middle class family, you know, you don't get the benefits. You don't get the financial aid, stuff like that. So.
I know I wouldn't be at this table if I went to St. Thomas More. I know that.
Where would you be?
I'd be playing college ball. You know that.
No, shit.
Like I said earlier.
Well, you're 24, bud, so college is over.
You know where I would have went after.
Where?
Arena football.
Oh, fuck.
Semi-pro out of Danville?
Yeah, you know.
So the Danville semi-pro team?
Yeah, something like that.
We forget what we used to have one semi-pro team. Yeah,
because they tried to get me to play for them, and I'm like, any insurance with this? No. So you get hurt and you're out of work? What happened? No.
My cousin played.
Yeah, you do it at your own.
Tore his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
For you.
Yeah. I mean, as a working man, what are you going to do? You know, you're working at DuPont or wherever and you're playing on a semi-pro football team. Well,
you get hurt.
You get your fucking femur busted and you're out of work for 6 weeks.
You're fucked.
That's a whole
different
story. I used
to watch him practice up there at PHS.
So you think with the way things are heading, you think it'd be a good time to start looking into preparedness?
Oh, yeah.
You watch a lot of field crap videos or anything?
I don't watch them. I'm not a... I don't know.
Corporation.
You know, the map reading, stuff like that, it comes in handy. A little land navigation, stuff like that. But I'm pretty good at getting around in the woods, you know?
Yeah.
You know, find some water.
I know.
Build a shelter.
When this whole quarantine kicked off, I got really into the preparedness lifestyle. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can't do, but having a bag staged ready, medical bag, your ammo can full of all the ammo you need and wherever you're going, like you're a part of that list, that little plan. And I mean, you got to think about it.
Yeah.
If it
one is none.
Yeah.
Two is one. One is none.
If it comes down to it and you're not prepared and the shit does kick off. I mean, I'm not saying or do I want it, but if it kicks off, I mean,
we're prepared.
the first 20% of Americans are going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The fat, the goddamn... Oh. The guy.
Well, those are the people that would be like, oh, take me to wherever and get the free food or whatever. You know what I mean?
Take me to the FEMA camp.
Fuck that. I ain't going there.
Yeah, dude, I'm not. I'll be at a fishing cabin in the middle of nowhere.
You want me to do what? Yeah. You're knocking on my door to give me what? Yeah. Fuck off.
Get the fuck off my property.
Like last episode, we're eating the fat ones first.
Yeah. I just...
But those are the people that don't question stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people right now that, you know, and if you question, you're a bad person for questioning.
You're an extremist.
You know, because I don't want to take a shot that...
It's not being...
I got a 99% survival rate.
Yeah.
And you're telling me the people who do get the shot are now getting it and transmitting it both and have to wear a mask. Why the fuck are we getting that shot again?
Yeah. I'll take my chances.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, a guy... posted something yesterday. It was like, it's not really a vaccine, it's just therapy.
Yeah.
You know, basically is what it is. I mean, you can still get it. Your symptoms ain't going to be as bad.
And they're still talking, they're talking about booster shots.
Oh, yeah.
6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's an eradication plan, I think.
Yeah, I ain't getting that shit.
Like the swelled hearts in men and the ovaries in women, like...
Yeah, Jimmy Dore, he was on Joe Rogan talking about it. And he said, I got the vaccination, but people, just because I talk about my symptoms, they're treating me like shit. He said, I just want people to know that I'm having these issues after I got the shot. And I went to my doctor, and it's the protein spikes that are causing the pains and stuff. And it causes real bad headaches and things like that from the protein spike after the shot.
That.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying I'm not getting it.
Yeah,
I'm not.
I'm not going to get it. My work keeps sending me stuff. But I'm in a union, and it's got to be in my union contract.
Yeah. You think that'll be in them?
No, the union put out a thing yesterday. They're going through negotiations right now, and they said that, you know, they still believe in individual choice.
There you go.
Because as soon as they do say, if my union does back down from that, I'll immediately say I'm no longer paying dues, because you don't have to pay union dues no more if you don't want to, and they still got to support you. Yeah, it's not like it used to be. There's a, you know, there used to be a law you had to be fair share and at least pay so much, but now you don't have to pay anything if you don't want to. But I am a full share member, and I paid $28 a paycheck to these
to these people,
left wing union.
Yeah, I just, so the dictatorship with individual state governors. You gave me some examples.
Oh yeah,
which I really appreciate because you're a smart guy.
Well, I try to be.
Rod
Blagojevich.
He's.
You got to think all these Illinois governors who went to prison. 1, 2, 3, 4 since 1961. Jeez. These people are just elitist scumbags.
It's like an institution.
I mean, you look at, you even look at Mike Madigan, who was Speaker of the House in Illinois for how many years? I mean, he pretty much controlled Illinois, Mike Madigan did. But you look, he's, you know, Commonwealth Edison wanted to bribe its way into Madigan's good graces by giving political cronies over $1.3 million in no-work jobs and contracts. So he just wanted this company to hire people in these positions. Oh, we're going to hire you as a consultant or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to report to work. You really don't have to do anything. It's going to keep us in Mike Madigan's good graces, though.
Wow.
Because they knew he'd get a lot of shit pushed through Mike Madigan. Because, I mean, being the Speaker of the House, you have a lot of authority on what gets passed and what doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're seeing that now with fucking old Nancy.
So he got busted, and he actually just stepped out. You just stepped down.
Good.
Yeah, and you got to think of all these Illinois, you know, governors. You know, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. Four, like I said, since 1961, who and just landed in prison.
Whoa. Coincidence?
But they know what's best for you, Bailey.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's why I got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
You like that, huh?
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi's a scumbag.
So in 2024, I know we're, what is it, 3.5 years away?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you guys want to see run for a presidential candidate?
Trump
again?
Or Trump Jr.
Things were good under Trump.
They were.
Things were good. The economy was good. I was paying how much for gas? Yeah. Under $2.
Yeah.
$1.49 maybe.
Yeah. I was making so much more money a week. I can see the difference.
Oh, yeah. I could see the difference immediately when he did take office.
Yeah.
You can see you're taking home more money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other things, too. Look at what he did for historical black colleges.
Yeah.
You know, he made a guarantee that they got so much grant money each year. You know, Obama never did that.
I mean, yeah, and he was the hope.
Yeah, but they call him a racist president.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's just the narrative. And then now CNN doesn't have the boogeyman to blame everything on. Yeah. So now they're just going to blame unvaccinated people like ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're, I mean, fuck, if you want me to be honest, we're the healthiest people probably in this fucking whole area.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit fatter, but...
Why do they say our sperm's going to be worth $1 million? Because it's unvaccinated, it's untreated.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be selling some of that.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
Line up.
Put me in the porn room and give me a cup. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm honestly not a fan of... The older I get, the more I'm like, these politicians are just in it for their own. I mean, look how many of them get into office and become a millionaire within how many years?
That's like Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, they get in this ring.
Yeah.
And they have just elitist scumbag circle ring. And the next thing you know, they're selling a fucking book. They've they've got these stocks that are worth how much money?
Microsoft. Because, yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And they know what's coming.
Yeah.
So they can unload or they can load up on certain stocks. Nancy Pelosi's back, you know. It's terrible, you know.
People,
but they know what's best for you.
People, especially the kids I graduated with, I respect some, I don't, others. You really need to pay attention. You need to start thinking about what's best for your community and you directly. Because the people that are putting these laws into effect and telling you what to do, they only have their interest for themselves.
Oh, yeah. Or their donors.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know,
lobbyists or whatever.
I'm sitting here, you know, I'm only 45.
Yeah.
But, you know, being a fat, lazy piece of shit like I used to be, I just sat there and I really didn't care and blah, 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 you know. But now I'm like, fuck all guys. You know, I don't need someone telling me what's best for me. I don't need it.
Until you've been in my shoes, I do not need you to tell me what I need to do. Yeah.
And under Trump, there was a lot, you know, you didn't have all that, you know, personal freedom. You know, look at the insulin costs and stuff under Trump. As soon as he got out of office, what's insulin now? What's EpiPen cost now?
Way too goddamn much.
thank your Joe Manchin for that. His daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, his daughter.
He's a fucking scumbag.
His daughter raised, six times the amount?
Yeah.
You got to pay for it now?
Oh, yeah.
You know, good job.
Scumbags.
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Yeah, think of how much her bonus check is going to be.
Fuck. Astronomical.
Yeah.
And it's
how much revenue did we get last year because we upped the price of these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just keep doing it.
Yeah. Let's keep the poor. It's insane.
So winding down, we got a few more topics, but the elitist scumbag, I mean, we've talked a lot about it. The thoughts on Fauci.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, you guys are fucking scum.
Last, what was it, March of 2020? Oh, people don't need masks, and they'll be touching the mask and taking the mask off. But, you know, the mask, it does nothing.
Yep.
Well, boy, the politicians didn't like that.
I hope Rand Paul just sticks him in fucking prison.
Yeah.
We got to keep the people muzzled. You got to think about that mask, what it does to you as a person. You know, you don't want to talk with the fucking thing on.
Nope.
No.
You know.
Can't fucking breathe with it on.
Well, you don't want to. Well, that, and they shut your mouth.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like it's done now. Hey, just put the mask on. Shut up and put your mask on.
I never did wear one.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't.
And I'm fine.
Yeah.
Now, if you're 65 and you got COPD, go get that fucking shot.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah, some older people, like my workout buddy I work out with, he's 60, same age as mommy, 67. He ain't in the greatest health. It's probably good for him to get it if it can offer some therapy and make his symptoms a lot less. Yeah. Like when I got sick, I was really sick after the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
I woke up on the 4th of July, couldn't talk, coughed. And I mean, I'd never been sick like this. But I got tested for COVID. They said I didn't have it. You know, all it is, I'm spitting in a tube. But they said I didn't have it. So, you know, but all the symptoms, like you look at the Delta symptoms, the same symptoms. And my workout buddy, he got it. But his symptoms only lasted for like 4 days, where mine was like over 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was coughing up some stuff that was neon and collar. And
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. But I went to the Amish buffet, though. Everyone's touching the spoons. And that's probably where I got it. But.
And people are so upset that all the Pentagon released footage of whatever the AEPs or fucking UFOs, whatever you want to call them.
Fuck, no one even cares about that.
No one. If this would have been 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, people, the church would have freaked the fuck out for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone would be like, hey, we want fucking answers. But people are so distracted.
Things are so bad right now. You can tell me that an alien is walking around D.C. and I don't care because I'm you know.
What does that have
I'm more concerned about my personal freedom.
Yeah.
And these stupid masks and stupid shots.
People don't realize once the government takes a certain aspect of your freedom, you think you're getting it back?
Oh, fuck no.
Nope.
No. If they take
negative chief,
your right to keep and bear arms, you think you're going to get that back without being a registered criminal? Think again.
How's that working for Australia right now?
Yeah.
They got helicopters flying over them.
Yeah.
With loudspeakers.
Get back in your house.
Get back in your house, disperse, or you will be arrested and fined.
And their deaths?
And they're just doing it.
Yeah.
Because they gave up their guns.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And it's...
And they had what? They just had like 8 people die.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Like 8 or 9 people died. So they went on to complete bullshit lockdown again. And they're even calling it the New World Order.
Oh, see, that's scary.
Yeah.
And we're not talking Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
No, No.
Yeah, we're not talking that. We're talking...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You will own nothing and you will be happy. That type of New World Order.
Hey, get in line for your bread.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
See all y'all at the cookout.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's another reason, like, when I do retire, I just want to go south and somewhere where it's warm, somewhere I can be outside, you know, 10 months a year. Because something does pop off like that, you don't have to worry about surviving a harsh winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people can survive an Illinois winter with no heat?
Oh, fuck.
It's bad.
Bad. Cold.
Yeah.
Real cold.
And
there was like 2 weeks it didn't get above 10 degrees last year. That's why I wanted to buy another vehicle, because my truck, you know, a diesel truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good in theory, but when it's 10 below, that some bitch ain't going to start.
Nope.
On your Casey's diesel.
No.
You know, it gels up.
Watered down, and your glow plugs won't work because it's so goddamn cold.
Yeah.
And, like the whole Epstein and Maxwell and everything in the news that people should be paying attention to, and we're just not.
Oh, yeah. That's totally forgotten about.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did what? Who's that?
Oh, what?
Yeah. He did what to them kids?
The former president of the United States went down there 27 times?
Bill Cosby got let out of jail?
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, should he be walking around free? Fuck no.
Eat your Jell-O pudding pops, moi.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think the moi was at the end of it?
Yeah, man. It's crazy. You know, you guys talk, I've heard your podcast where you talk about Epstein when he was... Where was he in prison at? In Florida?
Yeah.
And he was able just to walk out and go for like weekends. It's crazy.
Paid off the FBI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, look at all this shit I got right here. You're going to let me do what I want.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Huh? Meanwhile, we're worried about Randy Weaver sawing off 2 shotguns.
Yeah, ATF.
We got a goddamn scene like Rambo on Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, dude.
You know, over 2 sawed off shotguns where the guy come to him, you know, they could tell, you know, and he even said, you know, he needed money.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out in the middle of nowhere. Now, granted, I wouldn't have went to those cookouts.
No.
You're with what group?
Yeah.
On the area. No, I'll pass.
That's like a...
But, you know, he's got young kids. They got young kids. They can go maybe get the kids. They can play with somebody. And meanwhile, someone, an AT... Undercover
informants.
Yeah. He sees this poor guy that needs money.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to make some money? Well, everyone wants to make money. When you think about it, who doesn't want to make money?
Exactly.
I need 2 sawed-off shotguns.
Oh, I got 2 right now. Shit.
All that happened over 2 sawed-off shotguns.
Yeah. I just...
You don't murder a kid over that.
No.
Mm-mm.
First of all, I wouldn't even shot the fucking dog.
Nope.
Even if the dog was biting me. At my age now, I'm not shooting a dog.
Nope.
I mean, I just can't do it. You know, back when I was younger,
sure.
You know, the way we grew up, things were a little different.
Yeah.
You know, if something needed to put down, you put it down. If you had a litter of kittens that weren't needed, you got rid of them. But I could never do that these days. You know, your mom's got me.
She got you softened up.
Yeah, she got me softened up.
Fabric softener, got you.
If I'm a federal agent sitting in the woods, and a dog comes after me, I'm not going to shoot.
You're
the
a federal agent. Kitted up.
Oh, yeah.
Not to mention, you're kitted up. Body armor, fucking night vision, goddamn semi-automatic rifle.
And you're like an ex-Green Beret at that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just like being in Da Nang again.
Yeah, man.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to shoot these people for what?
Yeah.
It's not like Vietnam, son.
Yeah. And then the kid comes in. You know the kid's going to start crying.
Yeah.
Hey, you shot my fucking dog. You know, and the kid, of course, starts firing off some rounds. But a kid was running away.
Yeah.
And they shot the kid in the back.
Yeah,
they shot him in the back.
I don't know where we're heading, boys, but we're heading somewhere dark.
Could you imagine if I had to go down and get you and drag you and put you in a shed dead?
No.
Man.
Can't.
Right there at that point.
It's on.
Well, I mean, things should have halted.
Yeah.
And they should have brought in someone a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Instead, what do they do next? Oh, let's shoot. let's shoot Randy's buddy, then shoot through the door and murder his wife.
While she's holding the baby.
Yeah, while she's holding a baby, and her like body parts squirt all over the other daughter.
God.
The other daughter's like, I felt this stuff hit me in the face, and I come to and I realize it's part of my mother where they shot her.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anything the FBI and the ATF touches is fucking horseshit.
Yeah, because they shot Randy. Randy was out at the shed because he was going out to see his boy. You know, his boy was dead in that shed, and he went out to see him. And they'd shot him in the back. Then the wife and the buddy was trying to get him, Randy, into the house.
Yeah.
And they shot the buddy. I forget the Randy's friend's name.
I had it written down.
Then they murder the wife. But some people say that they wanted the wife murdered.
Why?
Because she was a matriarch of the family. She was.
Yeah.
She wrote them letters.
Yeah.
You know, because they had got arrested before that. And that's the whole reason they got the warrant, because they never went back to court after they got arrested.
Yeah. I don't know.
And she had wrote them letters, and the letters were kind of, you know, it was biblical in nature, I think. Yeah. But, you know, I think the whole word was, hey, let's get up here and let's just kill these people.
Yeah, we got a
two sawed off shotguns.
Yeah, we got a whole team of ex Green Berets, and they spent 2 years in Da Nang.
Did you see how many people were there?
Oh.
It's insane.
Like 40 people.
It was just like Rambo 1.
Yeah.
It was. They had a little camp set up and everything, and you had people coming and cheering for Randy, and you know, you had the whole FBI, ATF, the marshals.
Yeah, everyone. Were up there.
Yeah.
So with my daughter being born tomorrow,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to segue it a little bit into our next topic, but are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Are you going to spoil her?
Oh, yeah.
Real bad.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
It's super bad.
Yeah.
So with her growing up, what's your biggest worry for the next upcoming generation?
Well, self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
That comes down to you know, having a job, working, having enough common sense to stay away from the bullshit and stay, you know, think for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't rely on other people. You know, and that's going to come down to you teaching her that.
Yeah.
You, me, her mom.
I just
your
think
mom.
Social
Matt,
media.
Jody, everybody just coming in. And I've listened to Matt on it. As a matter of fact, the podcast, when he's on here, man, it's insane.
It's wild.
The shit you guys talk about.
It's awesome.
And he's a good talker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds really good. And
I think.
But the stories he got, God damn, the bird bath.
Yeah. Before you leave, I'm going to have.
And the chicken fight.
I'm going to have you both on.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah.
But that's my biggest worry with raising a child is to where we're heading, and social media does not make it any better.
No.
So I know when tomorrow I'm deleting all my social media except for Facebook to keep in contact with you.
Yeah, Facebook. I would get rid of Facebook too, but it's so when you live far away from people, it is the handiest thing to know what's going on and to be able to reach out to people, you know. Granted, it's nothing's better than a phone call.
Yeah.
Because I know when Dad passed away and I had some friends that actually called me.
Yeah.
You know, that was nice. You know, people you ain't seen in over 20 years and they just call you and you're talking to them just like nothing skipped a beat.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right back up where you left
guys
off.
You play football with and you know, just run around with and, you know, it was nice to get the phone calls.
So what's your biggest lesson? From growing up, becoming a man, supporting a family, what's your number one lesson you learned?
I don't know. I think setting the example, like if you're having a family, then people need to see you leaving the house and going to work and doing something.
Mm-hmm. Providing.
You know, it's okay to be on vacation once in a while.
But
I mean, as a father figure, if those kids are waking up and seeing you there, and then seeing you there all day for months on end.
Yeah.
I mean, for one, it can set a very bad example. For me, it didn't. For me, I always told myself, hey, man, if I ever grow up, when I grow up and I got a family.
It ain't going to be like this.
Yeah, I'm going to spoil, you know, and I shouldn't have, but you guys were spoiled.
You think?
You and your brother especially.
Dude, he's bad.
Yeah. But you, I mean, there were things that you got.
Like what?
We were in Kentucky and
you
had a birthday, I think, and the amount of money we spent on you. I think it's when those PSP things that first come out.
Yeah.
And they were like how many hundreds of dollars?
At
and
least
got so
five,
many games.
$500 just the device, and not to mention the fucking 8 games. He got me a case, just everything.
I mean, I wasn't even working to have enough money to just go out and buy you a Les Paul guitar.
Yeah.
And I was laid off. I'd lost my, well, I didn't lose my, like I said, the federal government shut them down, but I was just in between things, but I, you know.
Still.
Yeah.
Still, hey, he wants a fucking Les Paul, let's go get him a Les Paul right now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see, you were good at playing guitar.
Yeah,
you
still
pretty
am.
Slick at it, so.
Still am. It's just like riding a bike.
Yeah, but the biggest thing to me is, you set the example.
Yeah.
Show your kids, I heard something the other day, a guy talking, the woman wants the guy, you're a man.
Yeah.
You're the husband. Of course, your wife wants to spend time with you. But if you're at home, that's a problem.
Yeah.
If you're at home, it's a problem.
Yeah.
The man of the house, the moneymaker, mm-hmm. being at home, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think you need to work hard, set the example. And you do that, and I think things will fall into place.
Yeah.
You'll have little times here and there that, you're going to argue and things like that. And, you're always at work. You're always away. But, hey.
You like the car you ride in.
Yeah. You like the car. You like the
fucking earrings.
I like to eat.
Yeah.
I like to go out to eat.
Yeah.
I got money to do that, man.
You like that brand new iPhone and that $500 Apple Watch, don't you, baby?
Yeah. You like that shit off a lot, but I can't do that if I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasting time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's got to be out there.
Biggest thing you got to realize is when you're young, work as hard as you can and as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. What I always tell you? What's that saying I used to tell you all the time?
What?
I even say it to your book, sacrifice now to gain later.
It's 100% correct. Even when I was working over the road and you were even like, money's not everything.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen Cheyenne in fucking 4 months. Yeah. But she bought a fucking trailer, moved into a trailer, moved everything of ours in, got a dog, and I wasn't even home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's true. Money's not everything. But when it comes down to it, and you're not working and you can't provide for your girlfriend, your wife, your kids,
mm-hmm.
get the fuck up.
Yeah. There's always something to do.
Yeah.
You can always make money doing something.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if it's having a yard sale, if it's selling stuff, if it's going out mowing grass.
Yeah.
I mean, networking, talking to people. And I heard, years ago, I was just flipping through the channels. And I think it probably didn't even have cable TV, but Dr. Phil was on. And I don't watch Dr. Phil, but I heard him say, if you're laid off, if you're not working, your job is to be looking for work 40 hours that week.
Yeah.
40 hours that week, you should have been doing something all in 40 hours to figure out how to make money, how to look for a job, doing something to better yourself.
He's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If you're not working, your job then is to work and to find a way to make money.
And when I was in the Air Force, I didn't understand that concept.
Yeah. Like when I was laid off, what did I do all the time? I was mowing grass. I was
anything.
Breeding dogs. I was
all of it. And I mean, it's like at home, we never skipped a beat with how much money was brought in or how much food was on the table. Didn't skip a beat.
Yeah. There was never a time when in your childhood where, well, where's the food? Where are we going to have enough money this month for the food to pay the electric bill and to buy food?
No,
that
never.
Was never. Never anything that was ever discussed.
Never. Especially in front of us. Never.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, especially when I was traveling. I mean, your mom didn't have to work and we didn't struggle a bit.
Not even a
little bit. Had a new truck.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we're at an hour and 52 minutes.
An hour? What?
Yeah. We've been sitting here for an hour and 52 minutes.
Oh, God.
I mean, is there anything else you want to cover?
I don't know.
Anything?
Yeah.
You good?
I'm good, bud. I'm ready to go to the gym.
Oh, fuck.
It's bench day, so I got to bench press.
Got to swell up, huh?
Yeah, I got to get swole. You're telling me I'm looking flat. I don't look as built as I did last month. So.
I mean, I cheated 2 days in a row.
I mean, I weigh exactly the same.
I feel like garbage. I don't know.
Your arms look like they shoved a needle in your arm and just pumped it up.
He's big.
Well, the shorts I wear are 32s. So
fuck you.
And all my jeans are 34s or 32s.
Whatever.
I wear 34s.
Yeah, it's nice. Isn't it nice to go to a store and be able to just grab?
Yeah.
I don't need to look for a fucking big and tall section.
No.
Hey, it's an extra large. It'll fit.
That's
like
insane.
When I was fat, I went to Hollister one time.
Oh,
there
fuck
was,
that.
There was nothing.
You can't squeeze in anything at that fucking place. Even American Eagle, man, when I was fat. I heard you talk on a pack podcast. My dad would go to American Eagle.
We'd have to order.
Pants.
We'd have to order.
I had to order them. You're at Kohl's trying to find a 4X shirt. I would wear 4X.
JD, they don't have your size. We just got to order them.
Yeah. And even your grandma talks. I'd have to hold it up and be like, I don't know if it'll fit him or not.
You think this will fit, Sarah?
And mom never told this to me, but she, after I lost weight, I was probably down to about like 280 or something. But she is like, Yeah, when you were bigger and you come into a room, it was like you took up the entire room. I was like, thanks a lot, Mom.
Wow, really appreciate
it. A little honest feedback.
Yeah.
How the hell?
Constructive criticism.
You know? But, you know, you play football and you grew up around the people I did.
Fat people weren't really a thing, were they?
No, but I mean, I can take feedback like that and it ain't going to really kill me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not to mention your self-confidence. When you lose weight.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Your self-confidence.
Oh, people are looking at you like... God damn, who's that stud?
I was walking in the gas station yesterday, and there's this girl that walked out of a car, and she was behind me. I knew what she was looking at. It's okay.
No, shit.
Honey, it's okay.
Listen to it.
My pregnant...
Was I there?
No. My pregnant girlfriend was in the car, and I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, baby. Step in line. That's what I tell all of them.
I don't know. When I at first started losing weight and I was at work, people would ask if I was sick.
Yeah.
Hey, are you sick?
Are you ill?
No,
my mom thought I was on hardcore drugs.
Fuck that, dude.
Yeah, when I got real skinny, I was just too skinny. And it's too hard to stay at that weight. You know, I even watch what I eat through the week now, but to be 205, 210, it's so hard for me.
I don't think we were meant to walk around at that 200 pounds.
Between 240 and 245, I still wear 34 jeans, extra large shirt. I can throw up 315 like it's nothing.
Yeah.
I can bench 225 for 10 on an incline bench. So
Jesus.
Yeah.
Monster?
Yeah.
A little bit of monster action here.
And like I tell people all the time, too, they're like, how do you do that? I was like, dude, I've been lifting for how many years?
It's all up
here. You know, it's not, I didn't walk into the gym and the next week I was doing 225 on incline for 10. I couldn't even incline 225. I couldn't even bench 225 when I lost that weight because I was so emaciated.
Yeah.
You know, I worked my way back up through and it was just step after step after step after step.
Yeah, I mean, when I went and worked out with you, what was it, 2 months ago, I even realized it. Like, I'm not going to walk in here and be tough and, you know, 315 fucking 80 times. I'm a lot weaker than what I was all swelled up.
I mean, there's not too many 45-year-olds, especially in this town, that are going to go into a gym and bench 315 pounds.
We're the fattest demographic in the state.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Illinois. I mean, people in Illinois are a lot more health conscious, but you still have your
biggies.
Your people that are just, and they just don't know no better. But I tell you what, of the people I work out with who work out with hard are the Hispanics.
Yeah.
And they're nice.
Yeah.
They're always nice to you. And I work out with one, and he's funny. He is. And sometimes I got to type stuff into my phone so he can translate it or whatever. But, yeah, we'll talk about whatever. And
I grew up with...
He's a funny little dude.
The Texans that came from Mexico, and they listened to Dwight Yoakam and George Strait. We'd wear our cowboy hat all week, turned.
Yeah,
David Reyes, buddy, where you at?
Yeah. That's funny.
I enjoy working out with Hispanics. I do. I mean, and there's a lot of men ran tool just because of the farming and you know, the stuff like the harvest season, but they come there, they
and they're damn good at it.
Yeah, they work hard.
Yeah,
you know, who's roofing houses in July, you know, like it's nothing.
Not Ted.
Not Jimmy over there.
Yeah,
no, he ain't doing it.
They got the best work ethic, and that's
Carlos and Ortega over there are fucking running shit up and down as fast as they can to someone who's nailing these down as fast as they can.
That's nothing racial. I mean, they're just hard workers and they're great people.
Dude, they rip a house in a day like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, just so fast. It's insane. And, you know, they want to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, they've struggled their entire life. They get over to America and realize that, hey, we can do this. And
a lot of people
start a company, pay the employees $15 an hour, whatever. If they get experience, you can pay them $20 or whatever.
But,
they like to work hard and they like to party hard.
I know that.
They like to party, man, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They get drinking. They get raised to hell.
Mi amigo.
But, man, they work.
Yeah.
You don't see them sitting around.
Some of the greatest times I had in Illinois was with my buddy David and his family. Treated me just like one of their own.
Yeah.
Invite me to dinner, and we'd be drinking Coronas and Modelos and just get absolutely blistered listening to Dwight Yoakam and George Strait and Buck Owens. And
they'll take up for each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like when that fight broke out at the high school against the African-Americans and the Hispanics, man, them Hispanics just cleaned house. Oh, they did.
I asked my buddy David in high school, because we had that whole race war thing going on.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm siding with the whites. He's like, you guys are cool.
Yeah.
He said, if anything happens to you, I got your back.
Yeah, it's like them and the blacks at the high school. They don't get along too well. But
I do not.
I don't know why. But
I guess it's the times.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That gang life, cuz.
Yeah. I'm not about that. I'm about getting in the woods and leave me the fucking alone life.
Yeah.
I don't need someone telling me what to do at my age.
And
all I've been through and stuff.
Nah.
Yeah. You want me to do what? Yeah, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't have a problem with telling people that anymore.
Well, I appreciate you being on.
Yeah, right, that was a good one.
We're at 2 hours. I guess we'll see you in the next one.
Quick.
See ya.
See you guys.
Peace.